for Gamers, Internet's Now radio program proudly presents...
BF4G Podcast!
Every week you're tuning in, listening to us ramble on about the latest in gaming news. And without further ado, let us introduce you to Zero Tolerance, Gambit's Con. Give Pepper Wombat to a special guest or two if we are nice enough to let them on our podcast, the N4G Podcast.
Yeah, that's cool. Jesus,
we should have a cluck off.
That's terrible. Hey, man, shut the cluck up.
We're back after 2 weeks off for the News for Gamers podcast radio because we were out for the Easter.
I ate the Easter bunny.
Wow. I did too, but he was chocolate.
It tastes like chicken.
Anyway, we're going to move on away from that. And we're going to talk about
mythical
games.
Mythical childhood creature. I didn't quite know how to finish that.
But you don't have anything going on.
I probably shouldn't have started it.
Well, we have the News for Gamers podcast radio going on, and in the room, in the studio, we have...
Bones on the ground, kids! Hey, kids!
I wonder if you can hear that. That's
it's a very special episode!
We have to apologize for the inconvenience there. That was a little loud bozo noise going on.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the edit's going to sound like on that, but whatever. As I was saying, Mr. Gambus Khan is in the studio.
Hey, what's up?
Also, we have the Wombat, too.
Hey, what's going on? I keep waiting for
the sneaky
to sneak back up on us again.
What's the sneaking sound like?
Metal Gear!
And then we'll also have the boogeyman, Brian Peterson.
Hola.
Hola. Coca-Cola.
No. No, Big K-Cola.
Big K. All right, and we're here for news. I don't even know what we're here for.
we're so confused. We got thrown off by Bozo the Clown's interruption.
We did. N4G podcast video, we're going to get into fondling your console. So, Mr. Khan, why don't you start off, because I have no idea what the hell's going on.
All righty. My last 2 weeks of console fondling have been pretty cool, yeah.
All righty, then.
Yeah.
Now, it's two, Wombat.
Week number one. I played some Wii. I played Super Smash Brothers, which is fantastic, as Indeed. Always. I know there's a lot of haters out there. I know that...
Why are you looking at the boogeyman when
staring,
you say there's a lot of haters
staring straight
out there?
At the boogeyman. I know there's a lot of haters out there.
No. You. As he's punching me in the face.
You pop.
Well, I know there's like a lot of podcasts out there with some of the guests are like, oh, Smash Brothers is stupid or something like that. But anyway, I enjoy it. I think it's pretty sweet.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
I'm glad you enjoy the smashing.
Yeah, the smashing is fun. But the other game I played for the Wii has been Bowling Hall of Fame. Not bowling.
Bowling
Hall of Fame. What the hell?
Bowling Hall of Fame. Bowling Hall of Fame.
They have a Hall of Fame for drunk sports now?
They actually do have a Hall of Fame for bowling.
Oh, my God.
It is in St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm sorry.
No, what I meant was Pinball Hall of Fame.
Pinball, bowling, what's the difference?
Yeah.
You do the same thing.
They both involve hitting a ball with flippers and...
Everybody
yeah,
down
yeah
on,
lots of bright lights and scorekeeping, but
that's what she said.
But
that's not even funny.
Man, this podcast is falling off the tracks already.
We're like playing a yo-yo with a cat toy. I don't
we're like three.
We're sorry for
in.
Any first-time listeners today.
Yeah,
this is like the drunk podcast.
But
that
we're not
having
drunk.
Today.
Well, we didn't drink anything.
Yeah, except Kool-Aid. But anyway,
oh yeah,
Kool-Aid man. But anyway, Pinball Hall of Fame is really cool. It's for the Nintendo Wii. You could order it offline, or
you know, that sound is coming into your head.
Some specialty stores might sell it in store, but as far as I know, it's not in actually any of the major game chains such
FYE's
as EB.
FYE's not a game chain?
Not really.
No.
He just gave
having,
me
a, having worked there, no.
He gave me a demon look when I said that, like, no.
But, yeah, it's a really good game. It basically consists of 10 classic pinball arcade tables, and, you know, some of the greats are in there, like Pinbot, which is one of my personal favorites, Taxi, which is also really awesome, and probably the best table to play in the game is one called Funhouse. And it's quite fun, and I must say,
so it's not just a clever name.
No, I gotta say, it literally is like getting 10 pinball arcade machines because they have been rendered and, you know, recreated like perfectly. It's like it's probably the best pinball I've ever played on a console system.
No, I'm sorry, I missed it. Are you playing the Wii version or the PS2
version? Wii version.
Wii version. Wii version.
Okay.
Yeah, and everything is in there. The muffled sound effects, the music, the score numbering, like the special effects and stuff like that.
The LCD screens.
Yeah, the LCDs. I mean, everything is. It's like to perfection, and if anybody likes pinball games, I'd highly recommend it. It's freaking awesome.
Big difference between that and the Wii version, of course, is the fact that you can use the motion sensing capabilities to tilt the table.
Yeah,
which is really cool. So
yeah, it's pretty freaking sweet. And by the time you hear this podcast, my review should be up on the website.
See that? Nice. See that?
Plug. Yeah, plugging nice. In the review.
I like that.
Yeah, Gambus Khan. He writes a couple of things every once in a while.
He writes a couple of limericks.
Yeah,
dirty limericks.
And I have to say,
there was a man from Nantucket.
We'll leave it at that.
I think that I'm a better writer than I am a speaker. So hopefully, if any of you read the review, I hope you enjoy it. And and on the
of course, you know, there's probably a big demographic of kids under 19 going, "What's pinball?"
Yeah,
yeah, but, what's pinball?
But that's okay because us old fogies love pinball.
It is a game for old fogies, and
they made a movie dedicated just to pinball.
They
called
did.
Tommy. It
they
sucked,
did.
But they made one anyway.
Sweet.
The Who wrote a song.
Yes, they did.
All righty, then. Thank you for History Lesson 101 of
you're
pinball.
You're welcome.
We try. We try to please. Yeah.
But on the Xbox 360 front, a couple weeks ago I was playing...
Jumper.
No.
Wow.
You know, if fire could have shot out of Gambus's eyes right there,
yeah.
Ken would be a fucking smoke sausage.
That was pretty much the equivalent of Gandalf stamping his staff down and yelling, "Thou shalt not pass." That's pretty much what that was.
But I played the original Rainbow Six Vegas.
And why not too?
And why not two? Well,
Electric Boogaloo.
Because I got it cheap.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the reason. Thrifty.
Cheap. Woo, cheap.
Cheap is the bomb.
And, Rainbow Six, the original Vegas. You know, it's really cool. I've been in a kind of a military first-person mode lately. So.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of strange, kind of weird, you know.
Welcome to the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. But
in other news, Zero Tolerance played a Japanese RPG with turn-based battles.
He did. It's called Blue Dragon.
Blue Dragon. Oh,
that's
I haven't
true,
played
yeah.
that in a while.
But anyway,
there's
you know
a
something?
Blue Dragon reference for the podcast.
I really suck at Rainbow Six, man. I gotta tell you, I'm still like in the first area, not the first area, but in the first like stage. Man, that train yard scene,
You got to be an elite counter-terrorist.
Yeah.
You haven't played a whole lot of the Clancy games, though, have you?
Not really.
Yeah. It definitely, if you come into those games fresh, it definitely, there's a learning curve involved for Rainbow Six and Ghost
Recon. That'll
teach
all you Japanese RPG files to call our games mindless shooters.
It definitely isn't mindless.
Yeah, that's the way I try to play it.
Yeah, you die a lot.
Continuously.
I mean, the enemies continuously, like, flank me. I'll like, kill some, and then, like, some other enemies will be appearing to my sides, and I'm like, holy crap. They're actually a little bit intelligent.
Yeah.
Dun-dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun.
But, yeah, Rainbow Six is pretty fun. I like looking under the doors with the snake camera, and you can see the people on the other side of the room. And be like, go in there, take him out, you know, and the other two guys, like, bust in there. And
frag and clear. Yeah. Frag and clear.
It's pretty fun.
Agreed.
And another 360 game that I got back into, that's freaking awesome, Mass Effect.
Yes.
Yeah.
I slow clap for you.
Did you download the DLC?
Yes, I did.
Have you played the planet yet?
Not yet. I'm going to save it until after I beat a couple of the worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And because have you played it yet?
I have not, actually.
The Bring the Sky
Down
expansion?
Yeah, Bring
Down
the Sky. Yep. I haven't had a chance to yet.
Yeah, I'm playing it. And I'm actually, because this is like the third time that I started the game over. And I'm taking like a different approach. The other two times I went to, what's that world? Pharos
first.
Yeah, I went to Pharos first. But this time I chose to go to Nevaria.
That's a good idea.
And it's like the Arctic world.
Yeah.
Man, that is a long world, man.
Yeah, it is.
That is a long world.
Yeah,
and
it takes forever.
There's lots of stuff to shoot, man.
Yeah.
And there's lots of stuff to do, and there's puzzles and stuff.
I actually put it in the other night, and I had my save loaded from when I finished it the first time, and I was going to go play the DLC, and then somebody came online, and I turned it back off. So I was actually going to go in and try to play the DLC because I had it, but I haven't had a chance to play it yet.
Yeah, I was going
to
pop it in, but then I realized
I don't have it
at my house.
Yeah, that's because you let somebody steal it. Yeah. We won't talk about that.
Yeah. We're going to skip over that.
Yeah. I'm going to try to get back this week since I'm on vacation, kind of sneak over there and Solid Snake style.
Once you start playing it, yeah.
You need to get into Mass Effect. It's freaking amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yep. But the last game I played lately, I'm not really too far into it, but it's Final Fantasy Crisis Core for the PSP.
Crisis Core!
Yeah.
That's a turn-based Final Fantasy game, right?
You know something? It's quasi turn-based, but it's mostly real-time.
And for all of you who are totally clueless why I said that, it's an argument that me and Gambus has been going into for the last 3 weeks now until the release of the game. So
it kind of plays like a single-character version of Mass Effect.
Really?
Yeah, in terms of its like battle system.
Final Fantasy people just like keeled over and died right now.
Yeah.
How dare you!
The thing is, though, it's been getting
1,000 veins pop.
The reviews have been like average about the game, and it's all the complaints about the game are because of people saying, "Oh, it's easy, it's stupid easy. You just keep hitting the X button over and over and over and over again." And you know something? They must have not played the game for any longer than in like 5-10 minutes. Because, yeah, you do press the X button for attack, but dude, when you get to a boss, bosses can, like, they can destroy half your health in one special attack.
So what's up with this crazy, like, gambling game that pops up randomly for no
reason?
Yeah.
Yeah, the slot machine special power, it pops up randomly.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason to it.
Yeah, it initiates whenever you get to a certain SP level, skill point level, and when you're fighting when you're fighting a bunch of enemies, your skill points levels like go up.
I didn't know what it meant.
And it initiates the it's called the something drive system or something like that.
Hyperdrive.
Yeah, the hyper ultra drive system, and
Mega Drive.
Mega Drive. And depending on what kind of combination you get, it generally helps you in battle. It makes you automatically, you could do anything from a special attack to actually leveling up to leveling up the actual individual spells themselves that you have equipped with you. So it's pretty cool. I like it. It's very different, kind of bizarre, but I'm getting used to it. And I have to say, when I first threw in this game and powered it up, I was completely and utterly blown away by probably the most highest level of presentation I've ever seen on a handheld.
Is it like
ever.
The first hour, just like a whole cutscene?
No,
like
no.
It's a lot of talking and there's not much action for the first time. That's what I've heard. I don't know.
Well, there's very little CGI, to tell you the truth.
Well, I didn't mean like CGI. I meant just like talking.
There is a lot of talking, a lot of audio, but also a lot of just text that you have to read. But the first hour is very text heavy, but I'm a couple of areas into it. I think I'm like in chapter 3. I think I just beat the Bahamut dragon. Man,
Bahamut.
That was a freaking amazing boss fight, because you're fighting them, and it's like you're like on this rock and you're suspended in the air and you see tornadoes in the background. It's all, you know, real time rendered and everything. You're fighting the dragon and you're shooting spells at him.
8.0.
And
yes.
Thank you.
I had forgotten about that.
And then the dragon, he does his special attack and it goes into a CGI scene that's like extremely well done. And it's like, oh, excuse me.
I get choked up about it. He's all right. Gambus is fighting the sickness because he's listening to Disturbed.
Come on, let's get down with the sickness.
Richard Cheese.
Excuse me. But
welcome back.
Yeah, it was the game's presentation is really, really incredible. And I like the gameplay. I mean, it is simplistic when you're fighting the regular goons in the game. But I'll have to say that it's almost like a combination of if you took like the quasi real time slash turn base system of like Mass Effect and kind of intermixed it with a beat 'em up in the vein of like Final Fight.
Gotcha.
That's what it kind of reminded me of. And I gotta mention this. X-Play gave it a 2 out of 5.
I heard about that.
Yeah, I actually saw the review on TV, and I was like clenching my fist in anger at Adam Sessler.
Shaking your fist at the sky.
And I'm gonna give X-Play, or at least not the X-Play total staff, but Morgan and Adam a little backing on this one. They don't write those reviews. Let's be straight out there. They don't write those reviews. If you go to the X-Play website, it actually shows who the actual writer for most of those reviews are.
Uh-huh.
It's like when we saw like the show actually get underrated under MLB 2K8. I actually went through and read those reviews, and they're done by a totally different person. So they're just kind of like moderators.
You just pulled the curtain back. That's you just pulled the curtain back on X-Play.
You saw the wizard.
Yeah.
Man. So. The Wizard of Oz has
Adam
been revealed.
I happen to like Adam Sessler.
Adam Sessler is like one of the most hardcore gamers, and he's just stuck on this crappy show. You know.
Yeah, the thing is, I agree with Adam Sessler on
a lot of
things. You know, I think he knows his stuff. You know, he seems to be a cool guy. But all I got to say is towards X-Play in general, whoever wrote the review or whatnot,
right.
You know. Whenever you start writing reviews just to attract negative controversy, over time,
Paul Bryant.
Over time, the validity of a media's review, if it's shattered, if people don't believe it anymore, then basically your job as media is pretty much worthless.
Yeah. Well, I've stopped looking at X-Play's actual review system for a while now. I mean, didn't, and then, of course, it didn't didn't pick up my confidence any when I saw them, you know, their baseball scores this year. So,
to be completely honest, there is nothing that turns me off from a review faster than a score out of five. Like, seriously, if I see if I see a review and like if I look and the score is out of five, I'll still read the text of the review, but the score I could care less about.
Yeah, I've been that way about GamePro for a long time. I don't like the fact that they have four levels and the only one that counts is fun factor.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it should just be overall. Right. I mean, I understand fun factor is the most important
thing. GamePro's kind of worked though. They didn't just do out of five. They did that. They had the point fives. So yeah, it really they still had a 10-point system.
They still had a 10-point system, but it's still out of five. So right. It's confusing sometimes.
Right. Yeah, I just, like, I usually read the text of the score, and then I read the text of the review. But if I scan the score and it's out of five, then I just put the score out of my mind and read the, I don't even care what they gave it, because it's...
The thing is, with GamePro, I mean, we're getting way off topic here. Yeah. But just to quickly wrap it up, with GamePro, the reason I liked reading their reviews, or looking at the score, is if I saw a bunch of red smiley faces, I at least knew it was a game I wanted to pick up.
Yeah,
I didn't care if it was a perfect score, unlike today, where if it doesn't get a 9 or a 10, then it's not a game worth buying crap that people are going through anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But with GamePro, at least I knew that was a solid title. I mean, because all the big titles always got the big red smiley faces. So that was always like, okay, that's a game I got to pick up. Right? if it got the 4.5 out of 5, that was a game I was pretty safe on buying blind. So,
but that pretty much wraps up my fondling.
Your fondling has been wrapped.
Yes.
Wow.
It has. So we'll move on to the wombat.
Oh, what's your future fondling for this week?
My future fondling.
Yeah, I know. We started a new feature and then forgot it the next week.
So what are you going to play this week?
Definitely more Crisis Core. I'm really enjoying it. And possibly, do you know when, this is a stupid question, Prologue.
Gran Turismo Prologue? Yeah. I don't know the date.
Yeah, I don't know the date either.
15th or 16th or something like that. It's in the middle of the month. It's not this week coming up. So
yeah, that'll probably be a future fondling.
You might be picking up your Metal Gear disc this week, though. There's a big, strong possibility you might be getting those this week.
Sweet.
So
what is it, like the demo?
Metal Gear
Online. Access disc for reserve. So.
Nice.
There are starting to pop up a lot of places. I have a feeling that we're going to be
getting. Are you still taking reserves for the special edition?
Yep.
Here we go again.
Sweet.
Welcome to the News for Us Four podcast radio.
So, Mr. Wombat, what's fondling your console?
Well, let's see. My console fondling was limited this week because I was in sunny, beautiful Pompano Beach, Florida.
You didn't go there to play games?
No. It's sad, but I did play some games while I was down there. I played Rock Band.
Stop.
When I was down there.
Stop.
Sorry.
Continue on. Just ignore his.
I'm going to move on past. Played Rock Band when I was down there.
You take it with you, or did you play?
No. I played it. My wife's stepbrother had it.
Ah.
So we played it with them and had a blast as usual. And then we played actually Wii Sports. As well while we were down there, and had some fun with that. It was the first time, actually, that I had played Wii Sports with four other people, each person having a controller, and it makes it so much easier than swapping the controller back and forth. It made me want to buy more controllers, but anyways.
Yeah.
We'll move past that. I don't want to give sales to Wii Play. So I did play those two while I was down there. Those were the only two games that I got to play while I was down south. When I got back, I played a little bit more of the show, MLB The Show, trying to...
We have to apologize for the squeaking in the background.
Sorry, there's someone clubbing a baby seal downstairs.
Wow. No, there's not. There's a dog playing with a chew toy.
But... So, anyways, I played MLB The Show when I got back, played some more of my spring training of the road to the show that I created, and had some fun with that. My guy is terrible, as they always are when you first create them. So I'm batting like a 190 in spring training, which is awesome. I probably won't even get picked up, but that's okay.
You can go to the Reds.
That's where I'm playing. But I'm third base, so they're pretty deep at third base. So I played some of that.
My head just kind of exploded.
I also played a little bit of the Battlefield Bad Company beta. And
oh, excuse me.
I know that Zero is going to talk about this as well, but I was not all that impressed, if I'm being honest. I am fully aware of the fact that
it's Call a beta.
That yeah, well, yeah, that that too. But I'm fully aware of the fact that the Call of Duty franchise with Call of Duty 4 stole quite a bit from the Battlefield series, especially Battlefield Modern Combat. But after playing Call of Duty 4 and how good it is, Bad Company feels like a step backwards. It really does. It's kind of generic. It doesn't feel as tight as Call of Duty does. Mm-mm. And I was kind of disappointed overall in the destructible environments. The blowing down trees was kind of cool. But I was disappointed in the, like, how much of the environment is destructible.
Did you try to fly a helicopter?
I did not.
I flew it for about 10 seconds.
And crashed?
And I shot a boat in the water, and then I was trying to come up on the side of a hill and crashed right into the side of the hill.
The helicopters were hard to fly in Modern Combat, too.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, overall, it's definitely not a bad game, and it is still a beta.
Yeah.
But, and maybe, you know, this hasn't been the strong point for the series so far, but maybe the single player will be pretty good considering they actually seem to have a storyline.
Well, I thought they were focusing on the single
player.
Right,
yeah, that was the plan. So
multiplayer beta is just to test out the multiplayer that they're going to have.
Right, so hopefully the single player will be worth it. But like I said, right now it does definitely feel like a step back from Call of Duty, in my opinion.
I think that's what it's going to get. That's the problem, too, is Call of Duty being as good as it was.
Right.
And this is another shooter in the same vein.
Right.
It's going to get nothing but compared to Call of Duty.
Yeah.
That's all it's going to get. The one thing it does have over Call of Duty, though, is just the amount of vehicles.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
There's boats and tanks and helicopters and just all kinds of crazy. And the maps are huge.
Right.
Huge maps. So, I mean, if they can fix the control, clean that up, and you know, give a little polish to the visuals and stuff.
Right,
I think it could be a really good game. It just right now it just feels really kind of.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, they definitely got time to work on it. So, hopefully they'll get some of that stuff straightened out. Because yeah, I wasn't all that impressed visually either.
Yeah,
it doesn't really. It's definitely doesn't look polished.
Which is funny, because if you watch the initial trailers for it, they were claiming that was what it looked like,
right.
And that looked amazing.
Yeah, it looked
so
real
maybe
good.
That's the single player, and if that's the case, then I may buy it for the single player.
Right, absolutely.
So,
absolutely, and I mean, like I said, it can't be stressed enough that it is just a beta.
It is just
so
a beta.
It's not like it's a finished product.
No, but then again, there was a COD 4 beta, which was phenomenal.
It's true.
So, never know. What are you gonna do?
Very true.
What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do about it?
So is that. Oh, or
yeah. I mean, that's all the yeah. That's all. Future fondling. Hopefully, I'm gonna shoot Devil May Cry back via Gamefly tomorrow, and they should be sending me God of War. So we'll try out God of War: Chains of Olympus. I should have that for next week, and
you should have it finished by then, too.
Yeah, guaranteed. in fact, I may have it finished quick enough that I might have Dark Sector to talk about next week too. But so those two are definitely on the future fondling list. And actually, I downloaded started to download the demo for R-Type for the PSP on the PlayStation Store. But I didn't get to finish downloading it, so I'll finish downloading that today because the PS3 won't let you download stuff unless the system's turned on.
Unless the system's turned on and you're sitting in the cross-media bar.
Right.
Because if you go into a game, it stops, too. If you watch a movie, it stops, too.
Right. So,
nice.
So I'll have that to talk about next week
as well. But it's free.
But
shut up.
But other than that,
don't start it.
Other than that, that's all the fondling I had for this week.
Sweet. So we come to you. What's going on?
Oh, goodness. I like Jason actually played some of the...
I like Jason, too, but I don't
know. I, much like Jason, played William's Pinball Hall of Fame. The collection is actually very solid. Big, big pinball junkie myself. So quite enjoyed that. Also played it on the Wii, so I got the great motion sensing tilting action. makes me feel like I'm right in the arcades.
Minus the action back.
Minus the no-shirted teenagers and pit smell of pizza. But anyway.
What? No-shirted teenagers? What?
Remember, I'm old. That's
what I'm sorry. That was a back
when no shoes, no shirt, no dice wasn't a policy. So,
what are you gonna do?
Yeah, they're definitely. Now that you mention that, there definitely is an arcade smell. You know what I mean?
Yes, like, there's a very much.
Smell. It smells like body odor, pizza, and like soda burps.
Soda burps.
Pretty much. Plastic.
Continuing my voyage with Sir Francis Drake's descendant and Drake's Fortress on the PS3.
Drake's
Fortune. The Uncharted series.
Worms 5, Drake's Fortress.
This is literally the podcast of every name is wrong. Yeah. Later on, I'm going to be playing Dark Sex Store.
And Residential Evil.
Residential Evil.
But, Uncharted, fantastic game. So, my plan is actually beat it this week. So, yay.
You should beat Uncharted.
Playing more of Velma, being the show. Actually, I was about 30-some games into my franchise, and I'm actually going to start it over because...
Do you actually play every one of those games?
Yes.
Jesus.
I play every one
of my
favorite
games. About 45 Jesus. Minutes a game, so as much as I always claim that I can't spend 30 or 40 hours onto a game, I have proved myself wrong every year by playing baseball, like... Several hundred hours.
Yeah, on the PSP version of MLB I have, I've been playing that pretty much every day since August, and I am 2 years into my player's career. Yeah.
And that's not
two and a half. Maybe.
That's just you figure it's like 40 minutes to an hour per game,
right?
And then you got all the stuff you can dick around with on the side too. So, but anyway, like always, playing the show, we'll continue to play the show. The biggest thing I was playing this year was Fight the Staph Infection. That's right. basically, didn't play a whole lot of games this week because I was diagnosed with a staph infection, so I was kind of trying to cure that illness.
You know something? I don't want to play that game.
No, I don't want to play that game. I imagine
it doesn't get a red smiley face.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say, I don't think GamePro would get a red smiley face.
And what sucks about the whole situation is you figure with something like that, you know, I'm sitting around and I'm not doing anything but really sitting around the house, that it'd be perfect time to get yourself playing games, but you're so unmotivated and weak. I just wanted to watch movies. Watch a lot of movies. But this isn't a movie review.
Shame
show,
this
so.
Isn't news for movies podcast radio.
You know anything's going on there?
You know something?
So
I know a lot of things.
As far as future fondling goes,
crazy squeaking mother.
Bozo the clown has
just die seal.
Tons of MLB The Show will be played, especially after the opening day rosters hit. Speaking of opening day, I will be there front row tomorrow.
Shut up.
Yeah.
You're be jealous.
I
heard though,
making me tired.
While we're on the subject, I did hear that Play Magazine gave the staph infection an 11 out of 10.
Leave Dave alone; he's retiring.
So and X Play gave it a 2 out of 5.
Out of 5. But no, I'm going to finish Uncharted. I am actually going to either A, go and pick up my copy of Mass Effect from the house that it shouldn't be at, or. Or pick up another game that I haven't beaten yet, which is, pick a game. Like,
well, I was going to say, what game are we talking about? Because that's like every game you own.
Yeah, I got a whole lot of those, too.
Don't get me wrong.
So I'm going to have to look and see what's the shortest between like maybe Assassin's Creed or Turok and try to maybe finish those as well.
Wow, you still have Turok?
Yeah, I like Turok.
Sorry. I still haven't played Turok.
I like Turok.
Yeah, that was really good. But there's nothing really coming out this week, thankfully. So
there isn't nothing coming out until April 29th.
Right.
GTA and Mario Kart.
Yep.
Yeah. Woot.
They coming out on the same day?
Well, Mario Kart's Sunday, GTA's Tuesday.
Gotcha.
Prologue's coming out.
What?
Prologue.
Yeah, prologue.
Like I said, there's nothing coming out.
Yeah.
Man.
I don't count demos.
We went into prologue.
We're not going to talk about. Actually, we are going to talk about prologue. But,
oh, okay.
You know.
But anywho, no. Just plan on really just. I mean, I'm on vacation, so I'm just really just going to. I'm going to do a lot of, you know, typical housework and paint and spring clean now that it's actually getting warm here in Ohio. Of course, today you wouldn't know it, but tomorrow's going to be like 70 degrees.
Yay!
But I'm going to try to catch up on a lot of the stuff I haven't had a chance to beat yet. So
I'm really looking forward to that whole being able to sit down and play thing. Actually play some stuff that I don't have to play and things that aren't coming out. I don't have to play new stuff. So for like the next 3 weeks until GTA and Mario Kart come out, I'm going to be playing old shit.
Yep. And of course, like I said on the last podcast, in 3 weeks, I am off for Vegas to the Midway Conference.
Well, they're going
to
show Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. So keep posted because I'll be back with that information.
Mortal Kombat! Hands on
whatever they got going on up there. This is Vegas, actually. Looks kind of interesting, too.
It does actually look kind of interesting.
This is Vegas.
Yeah. I'm curious about it.
All right, so I guess that just leaves me.
Yeah.
Bye,
God. Wait, your future fondly.
He already did it.
Did you? All right.
Yeah,
I'm just paying attention.
It's going to be future fondly. I'm going to beat a bunch of crap out of it yet.
Oh, that's right.
I want to play a bunch of LTTP stuff. You know what I'm saying? Late to the party. Yeah. Did you get it?
Yeah, I got it.
Just making sure.
Yeah, I got it.
I think we should find a sound effect going, late to the party.
Late to the party. Late to the house party. Kid and play.
Send Bootsy Collins an email. Hey, late to the party. and like every time, you know, like play that sound bite, every time we're like, yeah, I was just playing Prince of Persia, late to the party.
Late to the party. Wow, Prince of Persia. Wow, really late to the party.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this week I played a few new things. Like we already talked about the Battlefield beta. Yeah. And, you know, I don't really want to continue to go into that. I just
your last game.
Yeah, shut up. Anyway, you know what?
Yeah, I saw that. I won't
don't start with
yet.
Me. I'll talk about that first, okay? I'll talk about that first. Yeah, we got. I got a review copy of Dynasty Warriors 6.
Review
copy of Dynasty Warriors.
Instead
6.
Of passing it on to somebody to review, who
I have passed
likes
on
game,
so much lately. I've passed on so much. You know what? It's no longer full of Falk.
It's not.
It's built for next gen.
Really?
Yeah. There's no more Falk.
There's
no more Falk.
Are the characters still made up of like 3 polygons each?
Yeah, about. The horses are 5.
Nice.
Yeah.
See, I
you
like
know,
Dynasty.
I know you love Dynasty Warriors, and seriously, that's the thing about this game is if you like it, you're gonna love another one.
Right.
They don't change anything, so.
Yeah, that's not necessarily true.
What do they change?
I'm saying I had a guy who said he was a big fan of Dynasty Warriors. He actually returned it to get Dynasty Warriors, whatever, Tactics, new one that's on the PS3. Some new one came out on the PS2.
Oh,
traded his PS3 Dynasty Warriors 6 for that one. Begged me to take back Part 6 because he said it was just that bad.
You know, to me, it just feels like the same game. I mean, it's visually a little cleaner. Like I said, there's no fog. It's still run forward, press X 1,050 times.
Right.
What obsesses me about Dynasty Warriors now that I haven't played it in so long and I go back and I play it now, because I actually played a little bit of it this week, and I get through the level, and it's like in the old Dynasty Warriors, you could just run through the level, do whatever you want to do, kill everybody, you're done. Now, they've made it so that it's so hard when you get to like the bosses at the end, that, and if you die...
You gotta start the whole thing over?
You start all over again. So there's a lot more of a layer of strategy underneath of positioning your troops, deciding where you're going to go, picking up items. But it's still, you know, you still got the butt rock going on. You're running through this ancient China with fucking Winger playing a song for you or something. I don't know. It's crazy. And there's lots of people. And your enemies are still dumb. I mean, they are. You run up to them and they're just like... standing there with their staff.
Just looking kind of bouncing up and down, pointing it at you.
Bouncing up and down,
well,
pointing at
you. Because they're dancing to the butt rock.
Dancing to the butt rock. What's going on? But seriously, if you love Dynasty Warriors, if you want, you can borrow it. But, okay. I mean, it is what it is, brother.
It is what it is.
But if you're a fan, I mean, I still don't understand why it doesn't have, like, full... like online support for like a bunch of players.
Right.
I think if you made a Dynasty Warriors MMO, it could be like the coolest idea ever.
Yeah.
It really could. You get like eight people in the game, and just each one of you have your own army, and it's like a control based area.
Or even if they had, you know, like 8 person multiplayer where you were all in the same army.
Yeah.
like attacking another army, I think that would be pretty cool.
That would be. They that would be sweet.
I mean, they need to do something. But then again, you look at it, and everybody says the same thing. Why would they change it when everybody still just keeps on
when
buying?
It still sells like crazy.
Sells like nuts, man.
Yeah,
crazy nuts.
That's a lot of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts. All right, moving on. The next thing I've been playing for the last 2 weeks is obviously Rainbow Six Vegas 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
I'm not playing the first one. Although it is confusing because I threw it in my collection and it's exactly the same game except it has a big number 2 on the side.
Right.
So I get confused as to which one I'm pulling out when I go to play it.
Do you get confused as to which one you're actually playing while you're playing it?
No, I don't get confused there. Okay. Don't start. But, yeah, you guys are playing this show. Shut up. Anyway... you know, a lot of people are going on about how it feels like an expansion pack, and I don't agree with that because there is a lot that's changed. The biggest thing is obviously you can play through the whole single player with cutscenes and everything in co-op,
right?
Which is really fun. You can still scan your face into the game, which is kind of creepy at first, but then it actually does bring you into the game further, and the technology is a lot better now. Whereas in the last one, like, you would take your picture, and it would sit there and think about it for 20 minutes,
right.
And then it would go, this didn't work.
Right.
Do it again.
Your face is too ugly to
put
in the game.
Your face is too ugly to put in the game.
Please try again.
But it does work a lot better. The multiplayer is really where it's changed.
Really?
The single player kind of it didn't piss me off because I don't pay attention to the story in this game. I don't really care. But apparently there was a giant cliffhanger at the end of Vegas, which I vaguely remember this guy running off in a helicopter, blah, blah, blah. And then when you get into Vegas 2, you're expecting to pick up right there. And it takes place like 5 years before the events of Vegas even happen.
Nice.
So I'm like, okay. But apparently once you get through the game, it'll wrap back around to it. And
gotcha.
It actually ties in with the first game. So if you care about the story, it's there.
Oh.
The big, how you level up with your experience and stuff, they've done the Call of Duty thing, but they've added it to single player and multiplayer, which makes it addictive.
Now, is it persistent across single player and multiplayer?
It's persistent across all.
Cool.
There's three different, things you can level up. There's close quarters combat, which you get for killing a guy that's running at you or killing him within so many feet, and then there's the marksman, which is long-range kills. And then there's the other one, which is assault, where you kill them with, like, grenades and stuff. And you'd level up slowly. You get experience for each one of these things you do, and there's, like, I think 10 or 15 levels to each one of these. And you can level them up. And then it also levels up your total overall, where you're, like, a general, a captain,
right.
Those kind of rankings. And these persist across single-player and multiplayer, so you can earn the same experience in single-player as you can in multiplayer. And the biggest multiplayer addition outside of the co-op, you get Terrorist Hunt now, and I know that we've all played Terrorist Hunt.
Right, millions of times.
This is vicious. They have ramped the AI. You wouldn't even make it through the first door. Seriously. I mean, we played, and like you go in a room, and they say there's 16 guys left. The first two or three guys could kill us that fast, and there were three of us.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
It was rough. The other big thing is they have a mode online where it's kind of like... It's kind of like Counter-Strike, where you have a VIP, you have a general on each side of the team. If the general kills you, you can't respawn.
Nice.
But if you kill the general, the team can't respawn.
Wow.
So the game changes dynamic immediately if you kill the general. It goes from being a run-and-gun to like a really sneaking-around kind of multiplayer.
Ooh.
It's a very interesting take on the traditional team deathmatch. And it's very cool. And the last thing I've been playing is Dark Sector. And it's funny because nobody else is playing this game.
Right.
And everybody asks me, how is Dark Sector? And I have to say that Dark Sector is freaking awesome. I'm just, you know, if it starts off like Gears of War. The first level feels very much like Gears of War. You're running around, taking cover, shooting at these enemies.
Stop and pop.
Yeah, basically. And then once you get to... Once you get infected by the virus, I'm not spoiling anything, it's obvious in the game. You get infected with this virus in your arm and you get the glaive. Well, the interesting dynamic is to the glaive. What?
Glaiven.
Glaiven. The interesting dynamic to the glaive is when you first get it, you lose the ability to pick up soldiers' weapons because their weapons have like a code on them that you can't use their weapons.
Right.
If you pick them up, they got 8 seconds and they detonate in your hand.
Oh, nice.
So you can't use their weapons. So you have a pistol and a glaive to start off with. And when you first get it, it takes a little while to get used to because you tap the right bumper to throw the glaive or you pull the right trigger to shoot. You still get in cover, and you pull the left trigger to aim. Once you start using the glaive, you can't really do much with it. But the further you get in the game is when it gets interesting, is when you start getting your powers. Like, the first time you get a power-up, it's like, now you can do a power throw. Where if you hold down, and this is where the 360 version really stands out because of Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
But you hold down the bumper, and this little circle comes around. And when it hits the right spot, the controller will rumble a little. And if you release it, then you get a stronger throw. And then you throw the blade across the level, and it can decapitate people.
Nice.
And then you move on a little further, and you get what's called Aftertouch, which is, if you played Heavenly
right.
Sword, it's the same thing. Where this is where the PS3 version is cooler, because you can do it with the motion control. But basically what it is you throw the glaive, and then you tap the button again, and it goes into where you're steering the glaive through the level.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So,
man, that's sweet.
So how far are you in it now?
I just finished, I think I'm about halfway through. I think there's 9 chapters, and I just finished 4.
Cool.
And the 4th chapter literally was probably the longest level I played in a long time. It literally lasted over, like, an hour.
Wow.
Just level 4.
Nice.
And the further I get into the game, it becomes less Gears of War, more Resident Evil 4.
Gotcha.
I mean, that's how much it changes.
Hmm.
Because you start off fighting soldiers, and then you get a little further in, you start fighting these, like, creepy, like, zombie things. So, and the puzzles, as rudimentary as they are actually fun. Like, they're the typical, like, you can throw your glaive into electricity and it becomes electric, or you can throw it into fire and it catches on fire. Well, you can actually use the glaive to, like, light torches and get through walls and stuff. So, and cool. It sounds rudimentary at first, but once you get into it and just the timing and moving everything around. The only problem that I have with it is, like, the camera is really close. So, like, when you do the roadie run like you do in Gears, it's kind of hard to tell where you're going.
So it surprises me that actually, for a game like that, that there wasn't, it released kind of under the radar.
Well, it's been, like, in development for, like, 4 years.
Right.
It was first next-gen game announced.
Right. And I feel like it would have come with more hype when it got released, but it, like I said, it just kind of released right under the radar. Nobody really knows about it.
The reviews are so up and down the scale that
right.
I don't understand. I mean, if you like those kind of games, it should be a no-brainer to pick it up because it's really good. I think a lot of it has to do with its publisher and developer, because it was developed by
D3
Digital Extremes,
yeah.
The guys that made Pariah
right.
and Unreal 2, I think. And they make good games. Pariah was a great game nobody ever played. And published by D3, who is mostly known for weird Japanese games,
right.
You know. So it's like kind of a mixture, and it looks like Gears. It looks like everybody mistakes that it's running on Unreal Engine. It's not.
Right.
It's not running on Unreal Engine 3. One of the few games.
It just kind of looks like it.
It just kind of looks like their proprietary engine is beautiful. And I got the chapter 4 is where you do your first boss fight. That's epic. You do it in a church. I'll just
nice.
Leave it at that.
Hmm.
And it's a big, big boss. Nice. So.
So you're going to make me buy it this week while I'm on it?
I haven't even played multiplayer yet either. How crazy is that? So I'm trying to get through the single player first and then go back and play multiplayer. But if you like shooters, if you like Gears of War, if you like Resident Evil, and if you like that, the idea of having a gun and a blade, I mean, that's, it's really good. I really like it. A lot more than I thought I would. And I thought I'd like it pretty well. So.
Interesting. Cool. Yeah.
And it's even got a decent story. And then you know the main character is voiced by Michael Rosenbaum.
Yeah.
From Smallville.
So how... Does he give a good performance?
Yeah, he's definitely the best performance in the game. I mean,
Ooh.
The story... You know, oh, we're in a war, there's an infection kind of thing.
Staph infection.
Well, maybe you'll grow a blade out of your arms.
That'd be awesome.
Check out my blade.
You guys have this game in stock. You got a wheeze.
And then it comes back to you. That's my favorite thing, is when I throw it, and then it comes back and kills somebody on its way
nice.
Back. That's satisfying. It's very satisfying.
Yeah, I
that's,
bet.
That's the thing about this game, is like, kills are satisfying. Even though you're killing the same guy over and over again, they can be very satisfying. It's a very linear game. There's no, hey, look, which way do I go kind of thing. I think there was only one. There was a couple points where I'm like, I don't know what to do. A couple minutes later, I figured it out. The boss fight, I had to look up because he just wouldn't die. And I was like, because in my head, I'm thinking logically, okay, I can do this to him.
Right.
So there must be something else I can do to kill him.
Right.
And I go online. They're like, no, just keep doing that. And eventually he'll die.
Eventually he'll die.
Shit. How long do I got to do it?
It's funny.
This week, probably just catching up on stuff.
Yeah.
That's really the big thing. I want to go back and play the DLC in Mass Effect. I want to go back and play some more Bully. Actually, was thinking about going back and playing some more Blue Dragon. Finally get back to playing Blue Dragon.
There's another Blue Dragon reference for the podcast.
Yes. Oh, I got to tell you this. In my last 2 weeks, you know what game I put in and played?
Uh-oh. Two Worlds.
Two Worlds.
Did you?
Yes.
I did.
All right, so that means you got the update.
Yeah, I got the update.
And?
You know what? I don't see it. I mean, okay. It's still got frame rate issues, but it is cleaned up a little bit. Like, when I first started playing it, it was bad because it hadn't cached into my hard drive.
Right.
And then eventually, once it cached, it got a little better, but it's still not as clean as it should be
right. With
the update. So, but I started playing that, and I'm like, wow. I can't believe I'm playing this game.
But there is fun to be had there.
There is fun to be had. What was friggin' hilarious is while I was playing, as soon as I put it in, one of the guys from the forum sent me a message. He's like, how much did Wombat pay you to play that? And yes. I'm like, $1 billion. He's like, it's not enough.
Oh, it's enough.
Nice.
It's enough. And they got a sequel coming out now. And I'm excited.
Yeah, I announced that on the site the other day, along with the PS3 version.
Yeah.
So... But now we're going to jump into news.
And actually, I'm not to harp on this too long, but the sequel actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, the screenshots I had look pretty good.
We talked about this one all the way this time, man.
Oh, yeah. This podcast is never going to get rid of Two Worlds.
Never.
So we're going to go into news.
And now, News for Gamers Internet Style Radio Program proudly presents News Quickies, brought to you by Sugar Bottom Baby Diapers. And remember our slogan... Why do we even bother doing commercials for these when your baby's just going to shit in them? And now your host, Zero Tolerance.
Wow. Nice. Anyway. We're going to move on.
That was pretty good.
First up, I know...
So let him run around the backyard.
I know that you guys were talking about this earlier, but THQ is, shock and all, announced SmackDown vs. Raw 2009.
Big shock.
Focus on tag teams and downloadable content.
Yeah. The downloadable content will be nice.
And
but...
co-op career mode.
Really?
Which is kind of interesting.
That is kind of
online?
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Online,
that's interesting.
Too. Yeah.
That might actually pull me back into the SmackDown fold again.
Well, it's like Madden. You guys don't really have a choice.
Yeah.
That's the only game
Well, we got TNA wrestling coming out.
But that's not WWE.
No.
You know.
It's TNA.
Yeah, but...
But segging in, Madden 2009 has a release date. Oh, you like how I did that?
Nice.
It's the same date it was last year.
Big shock there.
August 12th. And it will also come with a 20th anniversary edition. How old does that make you feel?
Yeah.
Madden Football is 20 years old now.
Didn't they just have a 20th anniversary edition like 2 years ago?
No, that was 15-year anniversary. And if you buy... Oh, this right here is incentive for me. You buy the 20th anniversary edition, you get free copy of Head Coach 2009.
Fuck Head Coach.
You know, I liked the last Head Coach. The only problem I had
You're
with head coach,
oh,
the only problem I had with the last head coach, I'm like, if I'm gonna have to be a spectator and like choose the plays, I want something that's pretty enough to look at. Well, now we got it,
right?
Because Madden's a pretty game, it
True.
Is. So, actually, I'm actually more excited about Head Coach 09 than I am Madden 09.
It's because you suck at football and you're a 49ers fan. Anyway.
Moving on.
Great news for Unreal 3 owners and PS3 owners this week, and PC, as we get three new maps.
Yes.
For DLC.
Yeah, I saw that.
For free!
I saw that.
I downloaded them last night.
Yeah, I did too. For free, so I am going to get... That's probably another future filing for me this week,
there
is to play some... Because I got the links also from Altus One.
Yeah,
thank
I wanted to
much.
Say, I want yeah. to send out a thank you to Altus One.
I'm on vacation, so just let me know and I'll get on
I'm
going
to load
too,
up some Master Chief and Marcus Fenix mods and
yeah.
check those out online. So, and we can play with bots, so we don't have to play... Oh, that reminds me, I left something out of my fondling that just brought this up. We can play with the bots, so I don't have to listen to the idiots, because I played Halo 3 last night.
No, nice.
Can you believe that I played Halo 3
I
last
cannot
night?
Believe that
Actually,
you played Halo
in
3.
Ranked matches, I was playing online last night.
Nice.
Were you playing because of the heroic
Yeah,
maps?
For the new maps. Which
I downloaded those, too.
The standoff was awesome. That is a great map. stand up with the satellites in the background.
Standoff.
That is a great map. Rat's Nest, I didn't care much for it. And then we played on the usuals. Valhalla, all the big team maps.
Right.
Yeah, shut up. Don't start getting off topic when I talk about Halo. But yeah, we definitely need to play some Unreal this week. All right, next up, GTA Social Club announced. Anybody read about that?
No, Social Club.
I did not.
Let me guess. They sit around and drink hot coffee.
I was
in that was a good one. Now, this is actually one of the coolest interactive things I've seen in a game. Basically, this is a website. It will have a... The first feature is called the LCPD Police Blotter. It's a virtual map and tracker of single-player criminal activity logged in Liberty City from everybody who's played the game. So if you look at the map online, it'll show you where the most crime consists in the game.
Wow.
The Story Gang, it's a special single-player leaderboard that recognizes players that complete Nico's main story arc in Grand Theft Auto 4. It also ranks players by the amount of time it took them to complete the story, as well as who was the first to complete the story, like in history. So that's really cool. There's also the 100% Club, which is pretty self-explanatory. All the stuff that everybody does, collects everything. It'll keep track of that. It also has a Hall of Fame for players who've reached the top of the hill on different leaderboards. It's got a Liberty City Marathon, which is a ranking of special physical milestones achieved in the game, like the amount of miles walked, driven, swam, number of bullets fired, stunt jumps. And there'll be different competitions for these. So, but yeah, this is really cool that it's all tied into the game.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, and you can access it straight from the web, so you can check out all the stats and stuff. So it's kind of like Halo 3.
Are you going to be able to access any of it from in-game as well, or is it only?
Yeah, you'll still be able to access it, like when you pause it and it shows you all your stuff. I don't know if you'd be able to access the leaderboards. I'd imagine you could.
Gotcha.
I don't see why you couldn't. All right, next up. SOCOM returns on September 16th. It's confrontation.
Finally dated, so.
Confrontation.
Good for everybody that's been waiting.
Finally been dated. And this isn't even the real SOCOM.
Right.
This is the DLC version that's being made by Slant 6 instead of the real SOCOM that's being made by Zipper. Next up, and this is what I was talking about with Prologue. In case you were wondering about buying Prologue, the $40 demo, if you really want Gran Turismo this year, you're going to have to buy Prologue. Because Gran Turismo 5 is not coming for another year.
Oh, well, I kind of figured that, though.
2009.
Probably March.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've discussed Prologue on the podcast before, and even though I'm a huge Gran Turismo fan, I'm not buying Prologue just because I have...
You don't want a $40 demo?
You know, it's not... not
it's
even
not
that.
A demo?
No, it's... I mean, it's, it is a demo, but it's a very... It's a demo with a lot of meat to it.
No, there's no doubt about that.
But I have a problem not so much with the fact that it's a demo that they're charging for. I have a problem with the fact that they're going to charge you $40 for a stripped-down version of the same game they're going to charge you $60 for next year. That's what I have a problem with.
You can buy Forza for $30 now.
It's true.
Anyway.
To me, it would be like them coming out with a one-level demo of God of War and charging you $40 for it and then charging you the full price for the game later on. So, moving on.
Turok. Ships a million. Turok. Ships a million.
Wow.
New DLC available, including 3 new multiplayer maps and a co-op map. So,
nice.
Turok is back.
Co-op map, huh?
Yeah, there's a new co-op map. There was 3, I think, that shipped with the game, and now they're adding a new one. So...
So Turok rises from the ashes of acclaim.
And sells a million.
And sells a million.
Whew.
That's impressive.
That is. Imagine if All-Star Baseball came out.
Whew, yeah, baby.
Imagine if Legends of Wrestling came out. Wait a minute.
Imagine if Sega announced a new Sonic game. Oh, wait, they did.
Oh, wait.
Accidentally leaked the new information of Sonic Unleashed.
Is it starring Jet Li?
No.
It's my Sonic. I'm going to take his cold off. He does a blue dash.
All right, and to once again rub it into the boogeyman's face that he got rid of Rock Band, Harmonix has released a Boston six-pack, including More Than a Feeling, Peace of Mind, and a bunch of other, 4 other tracks.
Smoking.
160 points apiece, or $10 for all 6 of them, which is awesome.
How much did you pay for this next game, Jason? I did not realize this was coming. I'm actually kind of excited for this.
Oh, Ikaruga?
Yeah.
Next up, Ikaruga is coming to Xbox Live Arcade on April 9th.
What did you pay for that on the GameCube?
I think I paid $40.
Ooh, this one's going to be 10. With HD and achievements, and probably online play.
Oh, I'm there, man.
That's true, but I mean, that's kind of like saying, what did you pay for Double Dragon on the original NES?
Well, he just bought it.
Oh, you just
bought it? No, no.
I thought you just bought it.
No, I have Ikaruga, but I've had it since it came out.
Oh, I thought you said you just went out and bought it.
No, I was telling you that I was thinking about playing it again.
Oh, okay. Never mind. All right.
Moving on.
Next up, a demo that's not $40, due out in May. Ninja Gaiden 2 demo will be dropping in May. Well, you know, I'm sorry. I can't. I have no love for $40 demos.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Ninja Gaiden 2 demo coming in May.
Did you read the preview on it?
Ninja Gaiden 2?
Said, and this is what is going to make the leader or the message boards explode, but it's like the first Ninja Gaiden game developed on next generation hardware.
Oh man.
Yes. Yes. Oh.
Team Ninja throwing some jabs in.
Itagaki probably throwing some jabs in because he didn't make Sigma, so.
Right.
All right. What's going to kill me the most about this, and I know I'm getting off topic again, but when Ninja Gaiden 2 comes out, people will be like, well, that looks much better than the last one. But when Sigma came out, everybody's like, this looks so much better than the last one. Yeah, it amazes me. So, yeah, I don't care. It looks freaking phenomenal.
I think it looks great.
Yeah.
Darwinia is coming to Xbox Live Arcade.
The hell is that?
It is a, like, it's based on Darwinism. Like it's based on Darwinism. It's like a strategy game, I think.
I assume it's kind of like Spore, where you gotta evolve or whatever.
It's a big PC title that did really well, and now they're bringing it to Xbox Live Arcade.
Cool.
I like this last one.
And the last one, Rock Band is coming to the Wii with a really slick set of white drums, but no online play and no DLC. The no online play, I could deal with that because Rock Band's not best played online.
Yeah.
But no DLC. And here, you know, I mulled this over the other day. Okay, I understand the whole $10 more for a next generation game. I can understand paying $60 for Gears of War and not $60 for, you know, a Wii game. But Rock Band's the same game across both platforms. Am I not mistaken there? No. And it's still $10 cheaper on the Wii and PS2. That's what's different? Besides no DLC, I guess.
Right.
But what's different between the two?
They no both DLC, have this, no online.
Do they have bump mapping on the fret bars or something on the game when they come across the screen? Do they have some kind of special next gen visual fidelity? I'm just curious.
I actually heard a possible. This shocked us up to the rumor mill, but I was talking to our Nintendo rep, and she was saying that there's going to be an update coming to the Wii. That will allow for 720 progressive.
720p progressive? When are they going to get rid of friend codes?
Yeah, when they give me that update, I'll be happy.
Yeah. 720p progressive for what game? Mm. Nothing? Oh, well, wait, it's to watch movie. Oh. Anyway. All right, now we're going to move. That wraps up the news, and I'm very bitter in the news, apparently.
Man, you're bitter on this whole podcast.
I am not bitter on this whole podcast.
You're bitter about Gran Turismo, which I'm sort of bitter about that, too. But
I'm bitter
I do
about
recognize
that.
The fact that...
I'm not even a fan of Gran Turismo. I'm not a fan of real driving simulators. Ooh, I threw the tagline in there.
And but, for everybody updated, EA still has not bought 2K yet.
No, thank God. No.
It's going to happen, but... It hasn't happened yet.
Eventually. They turned it down, and then they said they were open to other offers, which I thought was funny. It's like they just don't want to be bought out by EA,
right.
I think is the big thing. So here comes Activision.
Yep. Yep.
Snap! All right. Now we move into questions, and I created a new thread. So we're going to run through the old thread.
Clear it out.
This is it. This is the last of the old thread. And then we have a new thread. This section is now called Cue the Crew.
Nice.
Which
I like
we say,
it.
We say thank you to Zero Function. He's the one that sent me the PM and suggested the name.
He has a lot of good suggestions.
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
So he's a good man.
This is now called Cue the Crew. So there's a new thread. It's called Cue the Crew 2008 Edition. So when you have more cues for the crew,
wow,
you could post them there. But wrapping up the ones we skipped out on last time we were on, because the show was running into epic proportions.
Yeah.
Comes from Snoop Dizzle. He says, what do you think the future holds for N4G and your podcast? Do you think you will be well known?
That was future, like, supposed to be, like, a pun in there? The future.
See? Yes, in case you didn't notice, if you go out and pick up the latest issue of OXM, there's a big N4G advertisement in the issue of OXM.
Woot.
So now we are the famous. So
I don't know if we're the famous yet.
We're the famous.
No, I think the future holds another probably 6 or 7 listeners.
Maybe.
I hope.
Maybe 6 or 7. We might actually be able to surpass our listener base by the amount of people we have on the show.
Right.
You know, so that would be good.
Right? Yeah, that'd be quite interesting.
I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever be well known.
Yeah.
Because we're just a bunch of people standing around talking about video games.
Right.
We might never reach the levels of popularity as some other people that we talk about.
Right.
But, you know.
Hey, as long as people listen to the show and enjoy it, I don't care whether we're well-known or not.
I don't either. It's all about having fun.
Right.
Yeah.
The more stuff that happens for us, the more opportunities we get, it's just going to be cool.
Right.
We don't do this to become famous.
Yeah.
But if we become famous, we won't go to our heads or anything. Right.
No, I will expect an entire jar of brown M&Ms before I'll be willing to go on the N4G podcast. In all honesty, yeah. I mean, none of us, when we started doing this podcast, none of us really expected anything out of it.
They didn't expect anybody to listen to it.
Right. other than having a good time and talking about video games. So as long as we can come on here every week and talk about video games and have fun, and as long as a couple people listen to it, we'll keep doing it and have a good time.
And that's much like the when I do my music and I have my MySpace page up. You know, I'm just happy that somebody's out there listening, you know, and I know that I have 1,500 people out there that actually kind of listen to my stuff on a regular basis. Makes me happy, but I still don't want to get paid. I just do it for fun.
Right.
So. It was kind of interesting when we went to dinner the other night, and the guy that you work with came in and started talking to me about the show. That was kind of surreal for me to like meet somebody in person that were talking about your show, because then you're like, oh, you listen.
Right.
You know, that was kind of surreal for me.
Yeah, it still boggles my mind every time. Every time I get a message on PlayStation Network or Xbox Live that says, hey guys, love the show, and with a friend request, I'm always like, it's like opening presents on Christmas. I'm like, somebody actually likes us.
See, but Gambus Khan walks down the street and ladies just go, ah! You know, that's...
Wow.
He just blew.
He just destroyed someone's speakers.
That's what happens, though, man, when he walks down the street.
I've seen women fawning over Gambus Khan.
I have, too.
They fall at his feet.
They're screaming as they're running away.
All right. Next question comes from, how do you pronounce this, Arch Gellin?
I think so.
Okay. He wants to know if we'll share an embarrassing secret with him.
Embarrassing secret?
I have no embarrassing secrets.
I
might have. This isn't really a secret, but I will share an embarrassing moment. I ran track in high school, and I ran actually track and cross country in high school. And the first race that I ever had, I had been running as a sprinter up until then. And the first race that I have, my coach decides that he's going to have me run the 800, which is a lot longer than any of the stuff that I'd been doing. So, and there's a lot of people there. There was probably a, because it was a big invitational, so there were probably 150, like, actual people running. And then there were parents and everybody else, like, up in the stands. And so I get out there, and I haul my ass around the track twice. And I finished pretty well, actually, and I was pretty proud of myself, and I get done, and I'm feeling all proud of myself and everything, and instantly it hits me, and I spend the next 10 minutes in front of all of these people in this stadium hugging a trash can and throwing up everything that I had eaten several hours before. So, yeah, my first track race ever ended with me puking into a trash can in front of 300 people.
Oh, so, my God, that's pretty embarrassing.
That
man.
Was a pretty embarrassing moment. And this girl that was on my team actually came up while I'm puking in the trash can. And it's like, good job. Are you okay? And I'm like, do I look like I'm talking into the trash can, so it's echoing out. I'm like, do I look like I'm okay? It was bad. That was a pretty embarrassing moment.
Man, that was.
Yeah. It wasn't an embarrassing secret, but because 300 people knew about it.
Yeah, I don't think I have any embarrassing secrets. I have, you know, a couple of embarrassing things that happened to me in high school. Like, I remember, like, the first day of health class, I was sitting there, and the guy next to me was telling me a joke in my ear, and I was laughing under my breath because the teacher was talking, and I farted, like, super loud. It was so, it was one of those ones that just rocks the room, and everybody just stops and turns around and looks at me, and I'm like, what? I couldn't stop. My face was blood red. And what was the best part, and I'd love to see this from third person, the guy that told me the joke just looked at me and scooted away.
That's pretty classic.
I mean, that was pretty embarrassing because I just couldn't help it. It was loud, too.
Not necessarily, yeah. Mine's not totally embarrassing, but it's definitely on the odd side of life kind of a thing. That goes back to high school many, many years ago.
Back when they had one-room schoolhouses?
Yeah. Right.
Back when they had wood-burning stoves.
Had little girls falling down a hill like a little house on the prairie. I meant to go to the restroom before class started and didn't get a chance to. I wanted to make sure I got to class. And we got in the middle of a lecture, and I asked to go to the restroom, and he's like, no. I was like, well, I really got to go. And he's like, well, you're going to have to wait. I was like, I can't wait. I mean, I was like, you know, water was in my eyeballs. It was that bad. And he refused to let me go, so I got up and went in the corner and pissed in the trash can.
Nice.
Of course, immediately got suspended after that. But
that's
I was
awesome.
Like, I had to go. I had to prove it. So
awesome.
She just stood up on your desk and just.
And of course, what was great, he's like, you could have just. And then he's like, you could have just went to the bathroom.
Right.
I was like, well, I did.
What about you, Mr. Khan? Do you have an embarrassing story?
Let me see here. No.
You've never done anything embarrassing in your life?
Okay. Since you brought up your story, Zero, I'll bring up a similar one. Okay, this was like an elementary school gym class, right? And, you know, we were doing, you know, jumping jacks and push-ups and stuff like that. And then it came to the sit-ups. You know, you have to do the sit-ups. And
we all know where this one's going.
And I was feeling a little on the gassy side, you know what I'm saying? And so we were doing, you know, sit-ups, and I did a sit-up, and I was like, wah! And everybody in the whole class started laughing hysterically, right?
Now, here's the funny part. Was it those sit-ups were you doing on your own, or was somebody holding your ankles? You know how they used to hold your ankles while you did sit-ups?
No, these were on your own.
Okay. Gotcha. Not
anybody. And what was funny was it wasn't just once. It was like five or six times, man. Each repetition was like, wah, wah, wah. And everybody was just dying in gym class, man. It was,
farts crazy. Are just funny.
They
will be funny till the end of time.
I do actually. I have another one, too, that I just thought of. We were in Florida on vacation one time when I was a kid. I was probably 13. I was younger than that. I was probably 12. And we're getting ready to get changed to go down on the beach. And I had to get changed, but my stepbrother was in the bedroom, or in the bathroom, and my parents were in their bedroom all getting changed to go to the beach. And I didn't have anywhere else to change. So I had to change, like, out in the main common area. And I'm, like, super shy about it, obviously. So even though I'm the only one in the room, I, like, go behind this couch to change. I pull off my shorts. I get ready to put my swim trunks on and suddenly realize that behind the couch is a giant plate glass window overlooking the beach, and I'm standing butt naked to this plate glass window overlooking the entire beach. That was pretty embarrassing.
Oh, that's a funny ass question.
I guess you could say that the beach's scenery had a full moon, right?
It did.
You messed that joke up.
I know.
You ruined it.
Yeah.
All right, the second part of his question is when you were in high school, which crowd would you hang out with? The nerdy kids, the cool kids, the goth kids? Who'd you hang out with?
Who'd I hang out with?
Yeah.
Well, I hung out with you, so we hung out with the same people.
For the most part, yeah.
It was
funny because I kind of mixed back and forth. The first part of high school, I was very the grunge kids.
Yeah.
Hung out with the people with the long hair.
Yeah, this was pre-goth.
Yeah, there was no goth back then. There was the grunge
it
kids
was grunge.
That ran around with holes in their jeans, wearing, you know, insulated underwear underneath and chains hanging down to the floor. That was me. And then I hung out with the nerds, too, because I was a geek.
Right.
And I'd hang out and talk Star Wars and video games with the nerds. So I kind of bounced back and forth between the two.
I was the same way, but I think I hung out with the nerds more overall. As a matter of fact, I think all of them looked up to me. I was
you were like king nerd?
Yeah. I was like the freaking... I was like the chieftain.
Well, he was the senior nerd.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
He was the oldest nerd, so they all followed him.
Yeah, all the freshmen were like
you and your giant duffel bag full of books that you lugged around the school.
Oh yeah, I hardly ever went to my locker.
He didn't go to his locker. He just carried this big giant bag around all the time.
So I had I was kind of a mixture. I was a huge geek in high school. I got made fun of a lot in high school. But so I hung out with some geeky kids, but one of my best friends, actually, who lived just a couple houses down from me, that I knew from the time I was 4 years old until now, he was actually a really popular kid in his grade. He was a grade behind me, and he was a really popular kid. So I hung out with him and his friends, too. So I hung out with some of the popular kids. I hung out with a lot of the nerdy, geeky kids. I actually... hung out with, because I loved in high school, and I'm going to get made fun of for this, but I don't care. I loved woodshop. So I took woodshop 2 years in a row. So I hung out with kind of the woodshop kids too, like the redneck woodshop kids. So I had some of those in my little group of friends. I had some of the grunge, quote unquote, kids in my group of friends. And then because I ran track, I had some jock friends too. So I had a huge mixture. But as far as what I would have been considered, I would have been considered a huge nerd. So,
I was a nerdy
complete
grunge.
With big glasses and everything.
Now, much like me today, you can't pinpoint what I am. But just like in high school, actually, I was the very eclectic person. I was the athlete, so I played football and baseball, so I got to hang out with the preps and the jocks. But I had devil locks, which for anybody who doesn't know is basically it's the Misfit style haircut where it's kind of like almost like a mohawk, long and black.
I want to see your high school photo.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I do too.
It's awesome. And,
I saw yours.
Yeah, mine's bad.
So I had the punker mentality, but loved sports, much like today, and so I got to hang out with like the punk and metal crowd. This was before grunge, because I'm old.
Right.
It's more like in the hippie days. No, not that old. And then, of course, I was actually a really good student, so I hung out with a lot of honor students, too, just because I was a straight-A student and everything. So,
nerd.
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing is, I did have my nerdy side, because I did play a lot of D&D in high school, too. So, it's kind of weird. It's like trying to mix time in between football practice and making sure I made it to the next campaign for my D&D rounds is kind of strange. So, I was a man for all seasons.
Well, you were a quarterback, too, weren't you?
Yep.
Weren't you the quarterback?
Yep.
Man, talk about jack of all trades. Yep. Jeez.
So yeah.
Diversity.
I don't judge.
I don't fit to you.
If I like you, I like you. I don't care where you fit in the society.
I never really played the click game. I mean, I had my click of friends, but
we had a rumble in junior high. And
yeah,
actually,
we did too,
and
actually.
I got to stay out of it because I was on both sides of the field.
Yeah, we had a rumble
in
high school too. But I was very, very eclectic as far as friends go. I had a lot of friends in different groups.
Alrighty. So we're going to move on, and we have another personal question coming from Silfo.
Man, personal.
He wants to know, have you ever had a crush on a video game character?
No.
No. Next.
I mean, there have been video game characters that I think everybody has thought was attractive.
I think Alex from Half-Life 2 is a pretty attractive character, but it's nothing I would sit there and put on my
you
computer
don't play
page.
DOA volleyball?
Not you.
Yeah.
You Zero. You love
I can't
Jiggle.
Even play. It's terrible.
You're a fan of Jiggle Physics.
Oh, Jiggle this.
It's like I thought, what's her name? The girl from Uncharted. I thought she was a very pretty character model, but
have a crush on polygons. Let me go.
Yeah,
that
I don't. Yeah.
I was going to say silicone, but like,
well, the punk goth chick from Guitar Hero 3. If she was a real person, she'd be kind of.
Are you talking about Judy Nails?
Yeah.
She looks like a mongoloid.
I'm in agreement.
I got one. I got one.
Oh, good. Kratos?
The thing is, I can get... Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
Yeah, whatever. But I can actually get by with this one, because this is an actual woman. Carrie Hoskins, who played Sonya Blade in the Mortal Kombat 3 arcade game. You know how they would use digital actors?
Right.
Yeah, the digital...
Well,
like
the Tomb Raider models are always hot.
Yeah, Laura
Croft
models.
Especially the second year one.
Right.
She was my favorite.
But I would never say that anybody had a crush on a video game character.
Yeah, that's going too far.
Right.
Well... Go to some fan fiction sites.
Yeah, that's true. That's scary stuff.
Be scared.
Yeah. Some of those people, I don't think they understand that they're just fake video game characters.
All right. Here's another one of those questions that's going to make you think.
Now.
You just broke your head.
Now.
This comes from Ice. This is the X's again. Oh. Ice X2. Says, first, if someone locked you inside your bedroom until you passed away.
Aww.
And you were only left one system and one game, and you have no internet connection.
Ouch.
What system and what game would you take?
Man, that's hard.
That's difficult, man.
It's torture.
Tetris.
Tetris?
Which system?
Tetris. Which system?
Tengen Tetris.
For the NES?
Yep.
Man, you'd be blowing on that cartridge all the time.
Man, that's tough, man.
One system, one... You know what? I think if I had to go that route, I would probably... As much as I love Metal Gear, I would probably go with StarCraft and a PC.
No, internet
because I could probably... That's fine. I could do the create a campaign mode where you can do skirmishes all day long. I don't think I'd ever get tired of that. I think I could go back to that over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's not a question of favorite game. It's a question of what game could you play over and over and over and over again.
Scary enough, I think another one I could do would be Crackdown.
Crazy Taxi.
I like, I'd say GTA Vice City.
That's a good one.
Could play that over and over and over again.
Crazy Taxi. Hell, I still play at the arcade upstairs every day, so.
Let me see, maybe Pac-Man CE. Championship Edition.
That's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe either Street Fighter Alpha 3 or Street Fighter 3 Third Strike.
It might have to be Street Fighter.
Yeah, Alpha 3, yeah.
You know what? You know what would be a really good one? Rock Band. I think I could continue to play that over and over because not Guitar Hero necessarily because it's just one instrument, but Rock Band because I could do all the singing, could do all the drums.
But you have no DLC. It'd be just like having a Wii.
Well, you know. Snap. But, you know, there are like 50, 60 songs on there that I could master with each instrument. So, yeah. I mean.
Although, you know, if I'm going to be locked in my room forever, it's probably important that I keep getting some exercise. So maybe Wii Sports would be a good choice.
Well, if I'm going to be dead anyway, who cares if I turn into a big pile of nothing?
Yeah, exactly.
If it doesn't matter who's going to see me anymore, what's it matter? I'm locked into a room until I die. That's pretty. I don't know if I could play a video game because I'd be so depressed knowing I'm locked in a room until I die. I don't know.
I could just play, should I stay or should I go?
I don't know. So, I don't know. Me, I don't know. Like, and that's true, though. I don't know if I could play a game. I'd probably play my guitar all my life.
Hey,
there you go.
I got one for you. I know you're going to like this one, Boogeyman. Mm. Animal Crossing.
Yeah. If they made a new one. Bastards.
But you can use the online.
That's fine.
So you couldn't download new floor patterns.
Your Freak. Mom's a floor pattern.
The thing is, though, that could be your virtual life. Yeah. You know, it could be all of your friends would be the animals.
There you go.
So you can still have a social life even though you're living inside of one room.
There you go.
The game Jason could be just as boring as it is in real life.
You could do The Sims. You could take The
Pretty
Sims.
Much, yeah.
I just keep locking people in a room with no bathroom. That's the way
hard
I roll.
Live like me.
All right. Next up, second part of his question. Do you think video game creators should cross the line?
They
if
have.
So, where do you think video games are mediums from an artistic to garbage? In hardcore gamers' minds and the minds of the public eye.
My opinion, they just have.
I got a very easy line for you. It's called Manhunt 2.
Yeah.
That's where it crossed the line into right. garbage from artistic. No, it really, I mean, it's all in the eye of the beholder. But there's just a certain point where, like with Manhunt 2, where it's gore for the sake of gore. And it's death for the sake of death. There's no real purpose to it.
Yeah.
Well, so. I'm gonna go very political on this one here, just for the fact that it's probably gonna stir up some interesting message board conversations. But I think we crossed the line coming April 29th.
Drunk driving.
Drunk driving is not entertainment. I lost a friend in fucking drunk driving.
You can drunk drive in
GTA. Yes,
it's a mini
really?
Game.
It's a mini game.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think
that's
you know
bad.
We could say you know. We shouldn't censor stuff, but that's an unnecessary feature. It should not be in there. It should not be exploited or even in taunted as in video game fashion.
Right.
So
it's just another bullet for more people.
It's typical Rockstar trying to give you something to shock so they can sell more stuff.
Right. And I mean,
and cause more media panic, which will sell more games.
Most
too.
Of the violence in the Grand Theft Auto series is usually kind of over the top.
Right.
So that the violence side of it isn't quite as bad to me, but drunk driving's a little.
Something
it's
that doesn't
much.
Necessarily need to be there.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not going to enhance anything. I mean, I've heard right. people talk about it and they say it's fun, but you know what? You're still going to have fun without it.
Right.
That's really a big thing to cross the line with. It didn't need to be there.
Right. I agree.
My yeah. dumbass does enough drunk driving.
Kick your ass, dude.
No, I don't do it anymore, though.
Yeah, I know. I came and picked your ass up. All right. Next up comes from Altus One, who once again we want to thank for the mods.
Thank you very much.
He says, what do you guys think is going to be the next dashboard update? Which we may hear some news about soon, because if you all logged into Xbox Live, you saw you got that message that
right.
Live is going to be down April 1st for 3 hours.
Yeah.
For updates.
April Fool's.
April Fool's. They call it. Really, you can play. We just kidding. But what's going to be the next? We guess and hypothesize about the dashboard update every time, and I don't think we've ever gotten anything right. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, who would have last time said, oh, they're going to give you the ability to look at your friends list?
Yeah.
Right.
Woo!
Yeah.
Oh, good. So, you know what? What I'd like to see is obviously the chat thing, the multi-chat.
Right. That'd be nice.
Been waiting on that since the beginning of time.
Absolutely.
What they're going to add, I think it's going to be another feature that we don't think about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you're either going to
they're usually
it
good
gonna,
for that.
Yeah, it's always something that you weren't expecting.
Right, and then once they add it in, you think, man, how did we live without this before?
Not the friends of friends.
Well, thing. No, not the friends of friends thing. But
I have never used that. I do it like twice. I was like, ooh.
But like the restructuring of the arcade games and demos and everything.
That's nice.
Seriously, that's so much easier than it was.
Oh, yeah.
Before.
And, I couldn't live without the achievement telling me
right.
what it is anymore.
Right.
If I go back to that, it'd be so archaic.
Right.
I'm like, what did I get?
Right.
Yeah, and now it tells you, like, oh, how did I ever live without this?
Well, the only time you got to look back and see what you got is when you hit, like, multiple.
Yeah, you get it says, like, 3 for $40.
Right.
And you're like, ooh.
What did I get?
Ooh, sweet. But, yeah, I mean, it's cool that they're going to do it and they're going to bring some new stuff to the table, but I really think it's time to go and answer what some people want
right.
instead of just doing what you think people are going to want.
Right.
So
we're looking at you too, Sony.
If I have to upgrade my PS3 one more time this week, I'm going to punch somebody in the face.
Hey, man.
Like, cheers. I sat down the other day. I'm like, I'm going to watch a movie. And I log in. It's like, you need an update. I'm like, God. Ah!
And what does it do? Nothing.
Nothing. That's the Blu-ray online thing.
Right.
I haven't used it. All right.
Do you have a movie that uses it?
No. There isn't a movie out that uses it. I think Walk Hard's the first one. And right. The Sixth Day.
He's a twin. All right.
There's a man in there. In my house.
He's eating
my
cake.
And it's not me.
Or looks like me.
Put down the cookies. Now.
All right. Next comes from Trouble. He's got three questions.
Nice.
Arigato for another good show.
Oh.
Some questions to request. There you go.
Whoa.
Please share some of your most fondest and most vivid memories of the 90s. We had 80s last time.
Oh, that was the 90s.
You were old in the 90s.
I just spit on my gum.
There you go. See how good that was? Share your thoughts of the 90s. The 90s.
Grunge.
Grunge, yes.
Graduation, 92.
Wow. Graduation, 99.
98.
Graduation, 96.
College graduation in 96? Yeah. I wasn't even out of high school yet, you old bastard.
Old motherfucker. Let's see. No, the music is really
the
most from the 90s.
R.E.M. out of time. Fantastic. 1992, possibly the best year for music, I swear. So many great albums came out.
Nirvana. Weezer.
Weezer, yeah.
Weezer's in the 90s. There was so much great music in
the
90s.
Yeah, there was.
I think it's still my favorite.
We should clarify. The early 90s. Yeah, 96 and before, probably. Because after that, it sort of got a little
Tool started
shitty.
In the 90s. Mm-hmm. That was good music. There's lots of good stuff going on in the 90s.
Garth Brooks. In the 90s? I know I'm one of the few people in here that
I wasn't
going to
say
Brooks,
anything. I was leave it alone. Lots of good movies. That's that was like the 90s was the time that we discovered that...
My shit.
You know what? Why do you always got to unplug your shit?
Plug my shit. All right, hold on. Can you hear me now? Yeah. Okay.
Booga, booga, booga.
See, this is what happens when you try to bounce around and do dances and stuff. All right. The 90s was the time that... we realized we like popcorn action movies.
Yeah.
And you just go to the theater to crazy like action movies.
Most of the diehards were
a lot
the
of,
80s, but...
Yeah, most of them were in the 80s.
But the last one was 90s, I believe, wasn't it?
What about video games? Yeah. What about the most important thing?
99, but...
The 90s...
The 90s were like the
golden
years.
Going from 16-bit to media discs. Mm-hmm.
Well,
going
to the PlayStation...
Right, and
the Saturn was kind of like
8 to 16 bit too. The transition from 8 to 16 bit.
That was in
90.
Don't forget the Y2K
91.
Scare.
Yeah, Y2K. Wow. Get all your canned goods.
I that night I partied like it was 1999, and it was.
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
Oh my god.
But no games. I mean, I remember the Super Nintendo mostly out of the 90s.
Did you realize
Fighter?
All the systems we got in the 90s? Was like the Super Nintendo, the PlayStation,
Genesis.
The Genesis, the Sega Saturn, the Dreamcast.
64.
The Dreamcast actually made it in the
90s. $9.99.
$9.99. Barely, but it made it. In 64.
Yeah.
Man, there were so many great games in the 90s.
Saturn. Did you say Saturn?
Yes, Saturn.
Sega CD. Hey, you still
Game
ain't
Gear?
Got a Sega CD?
To me, the 90s.
Sorry, Lynx.
Atari Lynx.
Could you stop?
Atari Jaguar.
Do the math, bitch.
The 90s began with everybody, you know, all the media was segregated still, you know. People didn't know instantly whenever there was news about a movie or a video game or whatnot. But by the end of the 90s, everybody was on the internet and everybody was already a critic.
Right.
And
oh, I remember my days with my 486 computer trying to log on through dial-up computer.
Yeah.
trying to use as many free AOL passes as I possibly could.
Yeah.
I remember we all discovered too. NetZero and used that for about 3 months until we got sick of the advertisements.
Right. I remember, actually, gaming-wise on the PC.
Was it Syscom? That was down the street.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Syscom. I remember the Ultima games, big time, out of the 90s that were just awesome. And also the Star Wars games on PC.
My StarCraft addiction came from then.
Nice.
Mm. Web PC. TV.
Web TV. Wow.
That was my thing is, I didn't have a great computer, so it was really hard to get on the internet. So Web TV was my link to the internet because the Halloween 6 producer's cut was only available and I needed an email address. So I ended up getting Web TV just to buy a bootleg copy of a movie.
You know what my first real internet connection was? Dreamcast web browser.
That was a crazy internet connection.
Yeah. And it worked better than the Nintendo Wii does right now.
Yeah, it sure did.
Oh, all right.
At least it ran Java.
Is that all three of his? That's not all three
of
his questions,
was it?
No,
it's not all three of his. I scroll back up. Could you please comment on the recent controversy regarding the Holocaust game for the DS?
I would if I knew anything about it.
I don't know anything about it.
About it.
I haven't heard about this. Here's the thing. If you know more about this, send us a link, and we'll read into it, and then we'll talk about it next week.
We'll look into it.
And then his last part is, please comment on the recent surge of PSP sales in Japan. Crisis Core.
Yeah.
And Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter. Right. I mean, those are huge in Japan. Like, Monster Hunter is like the biggest franchise in Japan as far as portable games. I mean, it's sickening how many people play that game. And then you get a decent Final Fantasy VII spinoff.
Right.
Yeah.
Welcome to the jungle.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely.
I mean, that's really the big part of that.
PSP sales have been looking pretty good all over the place lately, so it's good news. I'm glad. I'm glad that more people are buying PSP because it's a very versatile handheld.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next question comes from Punky Bruiser, who is the wife of Ice X2.
Right.
Yeah. Says, I know video games turned into movies are usually something gamers cringe about from hearing it. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. We all know that sometimes the story changes from the original game. Several other flaws appear in the movie we usually wait dearly to see. Now, considering the fact that video game movies have recently been getting better, for example, Resident Evil was good until they killed Officer Oliveira, who was good to look at.
We'll have to respectfully disagree with you there, because Resident Evil Apocalypse was the worst movie that I had ever seen.
Well, I think she's referring to just the first Resident Evil movie.
Gotcha. Okay.
Which, I love the first Resident Evil movie.
Yeah.
It was great.
Apocalypse was – or not Apocalypse. What was the second one?
Nemesis
was pimp.
That was an exact quote, actually.
Out of the theater.
Out of the theater.
First thing we heard.
First thing.
Man, that Nemesis was pimp.
What was the name of that movie, though? Was it Outbreak?
No, it was Nemesis. It was Apocalypse, I thought. What's the new one? Is
Extinction.
The new one's Extinction. So it was Apocalypse. Yeah. And that was actually, right after that movie came out, that was actually my phrase for terrible movies was, it's not just bad, it's Resident Evil Apocalypse bad.
All right. Silent Hill, which was really good.
I really enjoyed Silent Hill.
Even though I had a panic attack at the movies while watching it, just asked my husband, it was good and did its job of freaking me out. It was really
absolutely
good.
It was very, very good.
Mortal Kombat and Hitman, which I haven't seen Hitman yet.
I really want to see it.
I really want to see it.
The first Mortal Kombat was great.
You're talking about Annihilation was...
Shut up about Annihilation. With so many great next-gen games with compelling stories and characters, what video game would you pick to make into a kick-ass movie? Given you could choose the director to bring your game of choice to life on the big screen, what would it be, and who would direct it?
Wow, that's nice.
Wow, I don't know.
That's a really difficult and versatile question.
I'd love to see a Spielberg-directed Uncharted.
Spielberg-directed Uncharted. I want Metal Gear Solid from Peter Jackson.
Nice.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Why don't you just ask John Carpenter to do Metal Gear Solid? Oh.
Shut up.
I'd kind of like to see a Mass Effect movie. I don't know, there's a whole lot of ways you could go
with that.
Knights
of the Old Republic, not by George Lucas.
I wouldn't even mind seeing a Mass Effect movie done by Ridley Scott. That would be pretty good.
Here's one for you. Directed by Yu Suzuki. Finish off Shenmue. Give me a Shenmue film. Let me have closure. Yeah. My God.
Even if it's CG.
Like I said, I don't care if I have to watch a movie. I just want closure.
Yeah.
Does Lon D kick my ass or do I get revenge? I don't care. I just want to know.
I'll tell you. Lon D kicks your ass.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There you go. There's your closure.
That's like going... It's like Darth Vader going to Luke. It's like, I got a secret for you, my son. And that's it, and the credits roll. It's
George
like,
Lucas is like, I ain't ever telling you.
You're done.
What about you, Mr. Khan? You got a movie? Director? You want Ang Lee?
No. I don't want Ang Lee.
How about Ubal?
No.
I want Ubal to die. Stop making movies.
Wow.
He'll box you. Watch out.
I've always thought a Castlevania would be pretty sweet, but then I'd also be thinking, but you know, it'd be kind of stupid, you know, having
Dracula. I've come to suck your blood.
I was thinking, you know,
what is a man? A miserable pile of secrets.
Yeah, I was like, I was thinking, well, you could just take the movie Van Helsing and just rename it Castlevania, yeah, and that's what it would pretty much be.
Whatever happened to the Castlevania movie that's a reality show?
Yeah.
That was supposed to come out.
Oh, yeah, reality show?
It's a reality, but it's directed by Paul Anderson, which, I mean, that always fills me with a little hope, because he's made some good video game movies.
Yeah.
But it is a reality show.
This sounds a little old school.
That's terrible.
But what about the idea of, now with the whole pro video gamers thing that's going on right now, what about like almost a 2008 version of like
the wizard,
yeah, with some like following one guy's quest to try to be the best pro gamer out there.
I'm gonna be in it.
That'd be kind of cool. I mean, I don't know. I mean, after watching the Donkey Kong documentary, it kind of got me spurred to want to watch more movies like that.
You Pionte noobs in Halo 2? Nobody's ever Pionte noobs into Halo 2.
Wow,
man,
I love the chat pad. It's so bad.
You know what I'd like to see too is a
we'll get Fred Savage to do it.
Nice.
Yeah.
He ain't doing anything else.
I'd like to see a Splinter Cell movie. Would be pretty good.
Directed by Michael Bay.
That'd be pretty good.
There you go. Big Hollywood blockbuster movie. Popcorn movie.
Michael Bay and Tom Clancy presents.
John Woo doing John Woo, yeah, there you go. Doing a Splinter Cell movie, there'd be lots of doves in slow motion.
There would be lots of doves.
This isn't a movie, but I'd love to see Alan Wake get released.
Here's a better one. Here's a better one for John Woo. Assassin's Creed, the movie. John Woo.
John Woo in Assassin's Creed movie. There you go.
That'd be pretty interesting.
He'd have dual crossbows. He'd be jumping through there.
There you go.
All
right. Next up, Don't Panic says he's just started publishing his own podcast and wants to know how much we edit ours. Well, I guess it just depends on everybody's demeanor.
Everybody's
for the
mouth,
week.
Yeah. No, seriously, most of our podcast is live to tape, so we don't edit out. We don't like. The only thing we edit out is if we say something that we realize that we shouldn't say.
Yeah. If we figure out we said something that we shouldn't have said, we'll go back and take that out. That's why I make notes throughout the show.
And when we go back and go to the restroom and wash our mouths out with soap and water.
Right. Yeah, we should clarify, when we say things that we shouldn't say, we don't mean like we make fun of a game that we shouldn't make fun of.
No,
we mean like actual language that we probably shouldn't use.
Words that aren't exactly good for a show to be heard.
Right.
All right. Next up, Psycho360 comes and says, I was wondering how pissed you guys would be if the next generation Microsoft console didn't carry your gamer card and gamer score into the next generation, or if MS did away with the achievement system. I would fucking kill somebody.
I would be pissed.
If I don't get to carry over my gamer score to the next Xbox, I'm going to have to choke a unicorn.
Do it.
I'm going to. I'm sorry.
And what would the unicorn sound like?
I'm not making that noise.
I would sound like Uni from Dungeons and Dragons.
I would punch a kitten in the chest if we weren't allowed to carry our.
I would
gamer
be
squirrel.
So. This is a beautiful system, and I would be so angry. You know what? I wouldn't even play it.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Kidding.
Lies.
Yeah. No, see, your answer would have been, "Hell, I'm at 80,000 gamer points. I just get back on there and kick all your asses again." There you go. That's your answer. So.
I don't know if I want to do all that again. I played Open Season.
You did play Open Season.
I guarantee you, once the freaking PlayStation achievements start kicking in, you're gonna start getting feverish for it. I guarantee it.
You know you
are. Mark this.
You know you are.
March 31st, 2008 is the day that I say that Zero will get his gamer score on his PlayStation Network. He'll start coming in and going, I kind of want it on the PlayStation Network now because my PlayStation 3 gamer score is
I will never stop getting it on 360.
No, you know what you'll do? You'll buy
both. Both.
No.
Yes, you will.
No.
Do not lie. If a game comes out that has awesome trophies on it on PlayStation Network, you will buy it on both.
That was the first thing that the person that saw me in real life said about the show. They're like, you really are a whore. That's what they told me.
It's the truth.
I played Beowulf.
Ooh. God.
Open Season.
We should get tested for something.
Open Season. I went to McDonald's yesterday and they had Open Season there on the Xbox 360. And I was like, I should play that. I could get all the achievements.
Did you play ever play that Avatar game?
No, I am waiting. Here's my thing. What I'm going to do is when I get to 79,000, I'm going to go rent Avatar just so I can get to 80. Like that.
Whore. Yeah. You should really get tested for something.
I probably need to be. All right, the last question. This is the last question in the Ask a Question thread.
Is it?
Over 200 and some odd questions and 6,000 some odd views. This is the last question from that thread. Comes from Eeyore Kara. I can't say that. Eeyore Kara?
Eeyore Kara? No, no, sorry if we butchered it.
Well, I'm sure we did. All right. He's got five questions. First, he says, hey, guys, love your work. First question. Would you like to see in-game XMB for PSP Slim since it's got more RAM to play music? Also added features like friends XMB icon for messaging and so on.
Humble.
Sure.
Yeah,
man.
I'd love to see PlayStation PlayStation Network integration on the PSP. I'd love to be able to turn on my PSP, add an internet connection, and see what my PlayStation 3 friends are playing.
That would be able sweet. To send messages too.
Right.
Be kind of cool. It's like, hey, I'm at work right now, but stay online. I'm gonna play in the show when I get off.
It'd be like a text message kind of thing.
Right.
Because it's portable. That'd be very cool.
Yeah, I'd love to see that, and the music thing too.
Yeah,
that'd
custom
be nice.
Soundtracks. Be
of course, we're asking miracles from the
people who still haven't got in-game XMB on the PlayStation 3.
Okay, moving on to the next one.
Sorry, I'm bitter about that.
I am too. Next one. Do you think EA will ever make their own console and then make all their games exclusive to it?
It would not shock me.
Wouldn't shock me, but could you imagine that, though? I mean, would it really fly?
No.
I mean, because, yes, EA has a shit ton of games to put out, but is anybody going to go buy nothing but EA games?
Well, here's the thing.
Money's not in consoles.
Here's the thing, though.
No.
Here's the thing. If you don't think that if there was a game console out there with EA's name slapped on the front of it, and it was the only way you could get Madden, if you don't think it would sell, you're crazy.
But
because people would buy it just to play
Madden.
Yeah. And not
to
mention...
They would, but
let's say
they wouldn't put themselves in that situation.
Let's say that EA does successfully buy out 2K. You've got one console, and it's the only place that you can play Madden, Tiger Woods, Grand Theft Auto.
NASCAR.
It's the only place you can play BioShock. It's the only place you can play BioWare games. You telling me people wouldn't buy that?
Now, here's the thing, though. And the reason why I don't think it's going to happen is units. You think the Wii's got problems units out?
That's
you really
true.
Think? You really think that with Madden, where they can spread this thing across six freaking consoles and sell, like, tons of copies for each console, that they would sacrifice those kind of sales just to put it on one unit, that it would take them a while just to get that many units on one design out into the public's hands?
Yeah, because if they release...
They already have an install base to deal out to, so all they've got to worry about is who they got to cater to. So
true.
And there you go. His next question, for those home beta testing... Yes, that'd be me.
Well, that we also got... I got another word for that, though, before we go on the next one, is Sega. Sega was huge. Sega was the man.
Right.
And, well...
Flop.
Unfortunately, even though the Dreamcast was still better than the PS2. Yeah.
There's no bitterness there. All right. For those home beta testing, do you think it will work or will it be a flop? At the moment, I feel it's going to be like The Sims. You play it for a while and then it's crap. It says, do you see it as something as people log into every time you boot up your PS3 to play online?
No.
No, I do not.
Yeah, we discussed that before.
Well, I see home as one of those things. You'll get it, and for the first week, you'll be like, this is freaking cool.
Right.
I love doing all this stuff. And then eventually, you'll be like, I just want to play the game.
Right.
Did Phil Harrison retire?
No, he moved to
Infogrames. Yeah, he went to Infogrames.
Okay, well, basically, he left Sony, right?
Right.
Yeah, he left Sony.
Home's going away. I'm sorry. I think home is going to go away.
Really?
I don't, as long as it's taking him to get this thing off the ground, I think they're just going to nix it completely.
If they did...
There's no money in it.
Huge,
there's no money in it. Why do it?
Slap in the face.
But even with Grand Theft Auto announcing that they were going to do theme spaces?
I think it'll still come out, but I definitely don't think it will be even close to what people are expecting.
Which system do you want?
I really don't think that it's going to be anything that people are expecting it to be. I think it's going to... I definitely don't think it's going to live up to some people's expectations.
No.
That's just my opinion, though.
After beta testing it for as long as I have, I don't even go in it anymore. I go in it when they do an update to see what they've changed, and I don't do anything else.
And I'll admit, I was one of those people, even after watching Ken's beta test, I was kind of excited for.
Yeah, I was too.
But
yeah.
Now I don't care anymore.
Right.
Whether it comes or long. Whether it doesn't, yeah, they have made me wait way too long. It's not like I'm waiting for a video game.
Right.
No, this is a service that they should have put out for people a long time ago and just had the world test it.
Right.
Right.
I mean, that's the way it should
have
been.
And the thing is, and it's not like it has to be perfect on day one, because everything needs fixing nowadays. Just get it out there.
Xbox Live didn't get to be as good as it is by not letting anybody use it for years before it comes out. Yep. And Home is getting to that level where people haven't touched it. And what's funny about the beta test is none of the shit that people care about is in there. You can't, you know, go and launch games. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can go play bowling, walk around, and watch a couple of really shitty buffered movies.
Right.
Seriously, that's all you can do. And that's really why it's not going anywhere. Even the people in the beta test are like, well, what the hell am I supposed to do? Stand here and do the robot while I bowl? Shit. I don't know. I see it being a flop. He says, next question, last one. Or no, sorry, no. Number four. Does anybody remember a game called Loaded?
Oh, yes, PS1? Absolutely.
Yeah.
This game is freaking awesome.
I loved Loaded.
But Reloaded, the second
not
one?
Not so much.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Friggin' terrible. Second part of his question says, do you think there will ever be a next-gen version? No.
No, but I'd like to see him put it out on PlayStation Network.
Put it on PlayStation Network, Xbox Live Arcade. Just put it on Virtual Console. I don't care. Just put it somewhere and let me play it now.
Yeah, it was awesome.
This game, oh, I love Loaded, the first one. It was so over the top and gory and just ridiculously stupid. It was like Smash TV.
Yep.
So good. So good. Yes, that was a great
I could
game.
See, yeah, but I can't see it coming back in the form of a Xbox Live-ish kind of a thing, though.
I'm trying to remember who made it.
I can't remember.
Interplay.
I think it was Interplay.
Yeah, I think it was.
I don't think it's coming back.
Yeah. Unless somebody bought the license when Interplay went down. Yeah.
It's true. No. His last question says, tell me what your thoughts are on my E3 dream. This is his E3 dream.
Okay.
Sony is up and going. Phil Harrison pops out with an Activision t-shirt on. Everyone is like, what the fuck? He gets booed and popcorn is thrown at him. But then he rips his Activision t-shirt off to reveal a t-shirt that says, I'm all Sony, bitches. Crowd pops. Philly reveals firmware update for in-game going live right now. Crowd goes nuts. Everyone is getting naked. I don't know if I really want to see a bunch of game journalists naked. Then he reveals that Home is out, live.
Oh,
crowd
Lydia
has
Munn,
orgy.
Maybe.
Philly is jumping around in his undies, jumps into the crowd. Everyone is happy. Balloons fall from the roof onto the crowd. Then on the big screen, Sony reveals that every PS3 owner gets a free monkey.
Dude, that's awesome.
Okay, I'm excited now. Everybody gets a free monkey. Anyway, I think I'm overdreaming. However, I do expect in-game and Home released live during E3.
It wouldn't shock me if the Home beta is released live during E3.
Yeah.
That wouldn't shock me. I don't think the full version of Home will be released, but I think the Home open beta probably could be released during E3.
Yeah.
I definitely don't think Phil Harrison's going back to Sony, and unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get a monkey.
No, I'm very glad that we're not going to have a bunch of news editors having an orgy nakedly.
Right.
And you know what I think about this overall dream? I
think he needs to see a psychiatrist?
Well,
I think he's got a very active imagination.
Reminds me of you, Jason.
I still think Olivia Munn should be naked.
Stop it.
Regardless.
What were you going to say?
Just for the hell of it.
I think that video game is such a amazing industry that if you're having dreams about a freaking press conference.
Absolutely.
Which, I must admit. I
get excited about press conferences.
I get really excited about press conferences. I mean.
Hell, most of the time, me and Zero take the week off that follows E3 just so we can sit home and stare at the computer and wait for the new news. It's like, where's the new news? Oh, there it is.
oh, they just announced this. Woo. All right. Now,
we're just bitter that we can't be there.
So. Yeah, that's true because I never get to go.
Can't
anymore.
Freaking afford it, damn Los Angeles. Go back to Atlanta.
All right. Now, that is it for the Ask a Question thread. It is retired. We move on to the new thread, and we'll get a couple of these before we get out of here. First one comes from Silfo. He says, cue the crew. I like that. Okay, crew. Here's your first morsel. Says, what object from a game would you most like to see in real life? Something that doesn't exist but you think really should, even if it's not possible, plausible, or wise for such an item to exist. His choice, the portal gun.
That's a good choice.
That is a very good choice.
You know what else is a good choice? Gravity gun.
Gravity gun.
That's a good choice.
That's a good choice to have. But, you know, I don't know what I'd do with that. I'm just... sit around and throw rocks at people with the gravity gun.
You know what else I kind of like to have? Kind of like to have a ghost from Halo.
A ghost?
driving that thing up and down the highway, or one of the brute choppers, driving that bad boy up and down the highway.
Oh, yeah, the brute chopper. That would be sweet. Yeah.
Dude, I got a Harley. I got a brute chopper.
Eat my dust. Ho.
Watch out now. You know, I can't think of anything.
Or a jetpack?
I wish I had a typewriter from Resident Evil that would let me save my progress in life.
Spit on you.
Well, that's what I like. I only have a typewriter that just...
It's not necessarily a game, but it made a game from it, though. But I'd really like a radioactive spider to bite me so I can become Spider-Man. That'd be kind of cool.
that would be cool. Yeah.
I don't know. That's a weird question that I don't really have an answer to.
I'd like
a portal
to have
gun, like you stole the best thing.
I'd like to have a U-damage modifier so I could take it and punch somebody in the face. And
or how about a freaking bionic arm so you can, like, swing off of stuff?
That'd be kind of cool.
Cool. Yeah.
I'd like to have... mental powers like Raz and Psychonauts.
Yeah, I like to have mental powers. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather be the guy from PsyOps, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then I'd just be violent.
Because then you wouldn't be odd-looking with a giant head.
No. All right. Next question comes from Snoop Dizzle. He says, he has two. What do you think fanboys will nitpick graphically in the next video game generation?
Everything.
Everything.
Eyelids. Nose hairs.
Grass polygons.
Skin pores.
Skin pores.
Yeah, skin pores.
Sweat physics.
Hair follicles. Animation. Hair follicles. What won't they nitpick?
Yeah.
That's the question.
I was about ready to say something, but it's just so wrong.
All right.
Were you about to say accurate junk physics?
Oh. Yeah.
I got one word. Camel toe.
What the hell, man?
Did you seriously just break out camel toe?
Did you really
write that down?
I am, you know.
I think you leave it in.
Oh, my God.
You gotta leave
horrible.
It in.
So don't panic. There's a good example of us not editing something.
Which possibly should have been edited, but.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Second part of his question we really already answered. What's the future hold for your podcast? Do you think you'll become world renowned? And which standard? Will you be the standard by which podcasts are done? Probably not.
Wow, no. No. But hopefully people will keep listening to us.
I'm waiting on that.
That's all I care about.
All right, Nexus 530 says, firstly, can I say I love your show? Yes, you can.
You can definitely say that. Thank you.
You said, listen to it every week without fail, and it keeps me from the crappy weather here in England. Well, we're sorry about that. And reply to my messages on PSN, guys. Come on. Come on.
I try to respond to every message that I get.
I do, too.
I hope I didn't miss one. I apologize if I did.
He says, riddle me this. If you were to combine three games from any platform to make your own perfect game, what would be the games and what qualities would you take from each game?
Wow.
Note that you can only use three games, but they can be a different genre.
Hmm. I'd probably use Mass Effect as the base. And then on top of that, I don't know, maybe a little bit of Shadow of the Colossus and Devil May Cry. Yeah.
Nice.
What kind of game would that be?
A really awesome game. It's like with the skill of Shadow of the Colossus, the gameplay of Mass Effect, but the speed and fluid movements of Devil May Cry.
I would have a role-playing game similar to Mass Effect with the same conversation system and all that stuff. A fighting game mechanic like Bushido Blade, with the sword fighting and the one-hit kills and everything, and the epicness of the God of War series. So like an epic wandering samurai RPG, that would be my ideal game, I think.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, the base I would take something open-ended, much like GTA. That way you got pretty much free room to do what you want, but when you break it down, have your combat stylings of, say, a deep fighter, much like a Tekken or a virtual fighter, and then when you get into your vehicle, break into a Project Gotham style physics engine. That way you actually got great controls when you're driving too. So
I'd take the solid fluid controls of God of War. Put them in an open, free, vertical world like Crackdown with a Virtua Fighter 4 fighting engine.
Hmm.
Nice.
And the shooting mechanics of Crackdown, I'd steal that too.
Nice.
But, yeah. and that would be the ultimate game, and it would be star Batman.
You and Batman. Your freaking Batman.
Leave me alone. All right, next one from Tough Name. It says, are you guys ever going to focus more on specifically N4G? Well, that's what we kind of do with the questions, really.
Right.
We don't talk much about the main site because, just like somebody else mentioned before, it's a lot of fanboy wars.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's, and we're trying to get away from that because it's, all you do by talking about it is fuel it.
Right. So we talk about the news, which is the main part of News for Gamers. So we try and be as interactive with the forums as we possibly can. But,
the forums is really where we get most of our feedback because everybody comes in here and interacts with us. So
right.
That's really our big focus on N4G. City's heard the show two or three times. Seems like general gaming discussion. Well, that's kind of what it is. But there's thousands of podcasts that do the very same thing. True, but not every podcast out there listens to what you guys say and actually goes back and, you know, interacts with your questions. Right. So that's really – and then if you want to make more suggestions, you can put them in the thread that I created, which is what you want to hear, what you want us to change about the show. And right. Surprisingly, most of the responses were, we love the format, just add a couple things.
Right.
So his question would be, if we did that more, what's in store for the future of the user review section? We don't really have any news on that right now. It kind of is what it is, and I'm just going to continue to let people review what they want to review because it's – user driven,
right?
So
the whole site's user driven.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, this, we try and make this podcast as user driven as we possibly can too. So that's, I mean, a big part of our connection as far as the N4G side of things is that just like the site is user driven, we try to make the podcast as user driven as we possibly can as well. So that's why we do the ask a question or the cue the crew.
Cue the crew, getting used to the new name.
That's why we try and do. Some interaction with the folks on the forum as much as we can. But I mean, every now and then we try and discuss some stuff from the M4G main site, but it is fewer far between.
All right. Next question comes from T_087, and I say it that way because he asked me to say it that way.
Right.
He said it's not T087, it's T_087. So there you go. It says, do you guys know anything about the PSN prepaid cards for the U.S. when they're coming to the U.S.? Because he can't get anything from the store where he lives, and the store doesn't accept his credit card. I heard rumblings that they were floating around different places. I haven't seen them.
Yeah, I haven't seen them either. They really need to get that out because there's a lot of people out there who either don't have credit cards or
don't want to use it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and
especially now with the leak, people could be more wary of putting their freaking credit cards on there. There's been a hack into the system now, and while Sony claims that everybody's safe because it only shows the last four digits of your credit card, but still,
that
just makes me happy about it.
Agreed.
But hopefully they'll show up in the store soon. Sony, once again, is mum about it. Hasn't said a word once.
Yeah, and they're far behind at this point. So because you can buy their competition's cards in the store.
Yeah, both of them. Nintendo and Microsoft have cards all over everywhere.
Right.
So.
I think it's just a matter of time before they become available.
All right, we're going to do two more here real quick. Arch Gellin comes out and says he's wondering if any of us are attending E3 this year. It would be cool to see you guys out in L.A. Unfortunately, not going to make it this year. It's an expensive trip coming all the way from out here, not to mention getting the time to go. So, no, we won't be in L.A. this year, but we will be obviously talking about it on the show.
Right.
And hopefully next year, maybe, we can find time and money to go to the show.
Yeah.
So, we shall see. Last question. And I had to at least get this question in because it comes from Little Bush, and he's always
our
he's always asking questions. He wants to say thanks for helping him on his decision to buy an HD TV. He bought a Samsung, played Uncharted in HD, and all he can say is, my God.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's a big difference. He says, with the recently released GTA 4 trailer, which did everybody see it?
Yeah.
The rat trailer. Yeah. What's your personal hype for the game, and what are you most looking forward to about the game? Him personally, it's how the animation physics are going to be combined to make seamless motion in the game engine itself.
Well, I've been talking to Zero about this for a while. I am totally geeking, drunk driving, minigame aside, about Grand Theft Auto. Actually, I haven't been this excited for Grand Theft Auto since Vice City, probably. But it's just, there's so many cool elements to the game that just kind of makes me just excited to actually be able to dig into a game like this. And then, of course, the multiplayer
right.
is where it's just it's going to be very, very cool. Yes, I'll actually be online playing with something.
I think I think my biggest thing about GTA that I'm excited about is hopefully that it's more vertical, like Crackdown,
yeah.
instead of just flat and you can't yeah. go you know, up and down. Up and down to me is cooler than you know everything else. That's why I right. think Spider-Man was a cool idea and Crackdown was a cool idea. I'm looking forward to having more of that. And I'm looking forward to the being able to take cover and better aiming.
Right.
This is really big things I'm looking forward to. I'm not super geeked about GTA. I'm not a huge fan of the series, but I am excited to play it.
I, like Mr. Peterson, am geeking out incredibly for Grand Theft Auto 4 because I'm a huge fan of the series back to the original Grand Theft Auto. And I'm really looking forward to the new shooting mechanic and the new driving mechanics. I'm really, 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 really geeking about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually one of those games where it won't be like an afterthought after playing a couple inning or a couple games of the show
right.
and going, oh, I want to take a break from the show for a second.
Right.
I'm going to play this for an hour. It's going to have to, you know, the show's going to have to show some yeah. love, sit aside, and let the other kid play.
Definitely.
So.
What about you?
I'm really looking forward to GTA 4 because this will actually be the first Grand Theft Auto that I actually play.
Really?
Wow.
I mean, I've played the other Grand Theft Autos, but literally, I have not played a Grand Theft Auto game for any longer than a half hour.
Really?
So this will be the first GTA game that I actually...
Have you played the original, the top-down original?
Yeah. Man. Briefly.
So good.
Every single GTA game I've pretty much played anywhere from a half hour down to only 5 minutes.
Right.
So let me ask you this. Which version are you buying?
360.
Is that everybody?
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't have to ask you. I know yeah. you're buying 360.
No, but who's buying the duffel bag?
Not me.
Nah. I was
Not
thinking
me.
About it because I thought it was kind of – I think it's
a neat,
idea. But it's kind of pricey.
How much is it?
$89.
Yeah, that's a little pricey.
I mean, it's neat. If you think of it as like – another series as geeking I am for Grand Theft Auto. It's, I don't know.
it's not enough. I'm not a big enough fan to buy that. I mean, Metal Gear is ridiculous to me, the price wise, but it's Metal Gear.
Right.
Well, Metal Gear's got some cool shit in it.
Metal Gear's got some really cool shit in it. There's no doubt about that, but it's still steep for one game.
Right.
Yeah.
It's got a soundtrack and a freaking big Blu-ray disc full of interviews and crap. That's awesome.
Blu-ray. All right. So. Second part of his question. Anybody SOCOM fans? And if so, are you looking forward to Conversation? Me, personally, I like SOCOM. Not a big fan.
We loved the first and second
loved
ones.
Loved the first yeah. and second ones. Don't get me wrong.
And actually, if I don't know. Well, I have to see it. I have to really see more on
the
it.
The price is going to get me. If it's $30, I might check it out.
Well, the word is that they're going to release they're going to do the same thing they did with Warhawk
so
and release $40. A bundle with a headset.
I don't need another headset.
I do.
See?
So.
But the question is that the only way you're going to be able to buy it in retail?
Probably.
Okay, then I probably...
Unless you buy it used,
see,
like Warhawk.
I like my physical media. We go back to that.
Right.
And if I can only buy it with the headset, it sucks because I want to buy it the disc, the actual disc of it. And if I can't get it, just the disc itself, I will wait because I'm not going to pay the $30 to download it online because I like to have that physical media. But that's just me. So.
I'm cautiously optimistic for SOCOM. I've never been a huge fan of the series. I did like the first one, but I've never been a huge fan of the series. But I'm pretty optimistic for it, so I'll give it a chance, definitely.
All right. We're going to leave the last little bit of questions, so continue to add to them, and we'll get back to those next week for sure. The last thing that we have to do, before we get out of here, we have to give out the code word. And yes, we purposely waited till the end of the show.
Yes, just so you have to listen to
so
the whole thing.
So you had to listen to the whole thing. Of course, you could just click forward and skipped it, but
because we're bastards. Like
yeah.
That.
So, do you have the code word?
I do.
All
yeah.
right. So, what is the code word that they're going to have to email
the code
to
word.
You? Do they have to spell it right?
No, they don't have to spell it right.
Okay.
The code word is going to be Willy.
How original!
It's Big Willy Unleashed. Hey, I had to tie it in somehow. It was either that or crypto. I mean,
you should have made them spell out crypto Sporidium.
Yeah, that'd be a little much.
Yeah, you know, but it made them work. It's a free $50 game.
That's true, but, I mean, they had to listen to this whole podcast. That's work.
Yeah, it is.
All right, so Willy is the code word. Email it to me at thewombat at ztgamedomain.com. That's the, T-H-E, Wombat, W-O-M-B-A-T, at ztgamedomain.com. So email that to me. We'll enter you into the drawing. You have until, let's call it 12 o'clock p.m. on Sunday, next Sunday, which would be, April 6th, to get that code word into me. We'll do a drawing. We'll pick a winner. And we'll go from there. And you know what? I think I'm going to actually go ahead and say that international entries are fine. I'll take the hit and ship it overseas if we get an international winner. I don't mind.
So you're going to go ahead and say, okay. So
because I don't want anybody to get left out. So we'll go ahead and say international entries are accepted. Like I said, get it into me by the 6th, and we'll do the drawing then and let everybody know on the April 7th edition of the podcast.
All right. So we have the code word. The code word is Willie. You have the details.
Yep.
You can rewind Willy. If you need to.
Yep. If anybody has any questions, you can either PM me on the main site or you can send me an email, and we'll go from there.
Won't they send you Wiley?
What? If they send me Wiley, I might still count it.
All right. So you have your code word. You have your mission. You have a week. And then next week we will announce the winners. That pretty much wraps up the show. Like we said, continue to fill the queue, the crew thread. We'll get back to those next week and expect a lot of late to the party conversation next week as we continue to play older games. And maybe we'll sneak something new in there. Who knows?
Maybe. Who knows?
Who knows? But for now, we're going to get out of here. So, Mr. Khan, if you would do your thing.
Where will I be? Where will you be when I hear the last beating of my heart? What will I see? What will you see in me when I hear the last beating of my heart? The last beating, the last beating of my heart. The last beating. The last beating of my heart. Where will I be? Where will you be when I hear the last beating of my heart? What will I say? What will you see in me? The last beating, the last beating.
Man, is it? What?
Any idea when fucking Cloverfield's coming out on DVD?
Does it matter?
It was going to, but it got eaten by the monster.
I still want to see it again.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know if I'm going to buy it. I just want to watch it one more time.
Would you not eat the cord?
Do you want to get it
oh,
on
sorry.
Blu-ray? Blu-ray!
You get to watch it on Blu-ray?
Do you want to get it on HD DVD? Do you want to get it on Betamax?
Costs $5.